Usually you kill someone because they've done something to bother you.
What?
So my point is, yeah. We hosted the bowl-a-thon. Yes, even though our show was done.
Just a teat, huh?
Then you stick around until the bowling is done.
Yeah.
Is finished.
Right.
Now the Musers, their show got finished, and then there was this vapor trail. Like, it looked like Gordo, the outline of the body, but he was so gone. So on his way back to his opulent mansion with his safeguards, you know he must live in a place with 50 video cameras around and inside his little video room where he can monitor the internet. And
he's got a safe
post.
Yeah.
Like a Sicilian mafia boss.
If they post a word with Gordon Keith in
right,
it,
he gets a ding ding. He gets
immediately
a notification.
Gets that website's URL. And is on top of it.
So where did they land their helicopter out here? Oh, on the clearing over there?
They didn't show us. I wasn't privy to that.
I thought it was a submarine that came up through the lake and picked them up.
Like the Lost
submarine? Like Lost.
Dude, right. What if there was some kind of a Loch Ness monster out here?
What if this is the future?
What?
What if?
Good question, Donovan.
What if this is the future?
Could be.
So what do you mean?
And if we hop in our car and go back, I mean, things aren't the same.
It's actually 30 seconds
in
the
future. You know what I'm saying?
So something had happened?
Right. So we're on this island. I consider this an island.
So when we drive back...
Right. You know what?
Things are a little... Your wife's just a little different.
Oh, Big Sam might be... You know, my key won't work.
One of your kids is named Steve, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What
if I knock on my door because the key doesn't work, and Big Sam opens up and it's like, you know, Ascot and stuff.
Let's call Bob's wife and see if we can convince her to do this prank on him. All right, the prank is, when he comes home, that something had changed in his trip to the past. So what we want you to do is just call Brett Steve and just act like and go change all his school papers and stuff.
To Steve.
Do you think we could convince her to do that, or would she think we were totally baked?
Over Steve Bartkowski, because I'm a big Falcons fan.
I don't know.
Right. What
Robin.
If that happened? Yeah.
Robin. We could convince her that... His name is Robin, and you might actually believe that.
I might.
After Robin Yount.
Yount. All right, we are out here.
I'll never get that wrong
again.
Don't
reveal where we are.
I believe the location is now able to be revealed. I believe the Musers did the giant reveal to let everyone at the Mingus Chamber of Commerce benefit now from being on the outskirts of the Musers camp.
Right, but not from them, because they ran away.
Right. They're not here.
No.
We're here spending money in Mingus. We're going to hang out.
Yeah,
mingle in Mingus.
We're going to help the Mingus economy with a lunch order.
Didn't they have a strip club?
You're partying at the Mule Butt or something like that.
No, the Mule Ear.
Oh.
And by the way, big time.
They have a boar's nest, too.
Is it called?
Does every little town in America have a boar's nest?
Yeah, I saw that.
Were you loving it?
Yeah, I kind of was. I was looking for Uncle Jesse's.
And do they open it while Dukes are on the air, or do they kind of wait like 10 years and then it seems nostalgic?
I don't think anything's opened up here in the last 10 years. I'll be honest with you.
I think Bob is right.
I went looking for gas today and looking for lunch because I knew a couple things. I know a couple things about my buddy, my best friend, Dan. And I hate to keep saying that, Donovan, but Dan and I just have history that goes a little...
Hey, hey, you know what?
You're in the running.
I'm a good third wheel. You know, I'm the spare tire on the back.
But Dan and I go all the way back to him pounding beers at a Stars game in 1999. And I've learned over the years that in situations like this, and that could mean Cowboys camp, Stars road trip, camp out, anything involving sleeping in rather close proximity, and then I wake early... And I do my stuff, although I did sleep in today. An amazing amount of sleep today.
What time did you get up?
9.
Oh, really?
Wow.
You're still sleeping?
And only because the Musers
were
Wow. That is...
Wow.
I did not have that in the
pool. Never,
well,
Rich,
I would have lost
I've
that
I've never
bet.
Seen that before.
Rich woke me up at 5:30 with... more, yeah, and then just insert a Timberwolves name.
I just didn't hear that at all.
And the Channel 8 chick was here. And Norm also had a funny bit where at 5:30, he starts honking his horn and yelling something out his window about camp out or...
Like Norm?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that either.
Norm woke up.
I was in a whiskey-induced coma last night.
So, yeah, I got up and watered the trees and then went back down to sleep. thinking I was probably going to grab the laptop and keep looking at Tennessee and LSU on the laptop, or maybe Chicago Code or something. I don't know. Something in the tent.
Blog, perhaps.
Maybe do something.
Maybe tweet.
But I decided, you know, let me just put my head down here and gone. Just totally, just that quick.
Then it was till 9 you hadn't woken up?
Yeah, and I guess
that's amazing.
I was so sleep deprived from the Arctic night that last night's extremely pleasant sleeping conditions, so much so that I actually had to shed a layer.
Yeah, me too.
Bob, did you hear the Channel 8 chick this morning?
Yeah.
Did you?
No.
Had no idea she was around.
There was a Channel 8 chick here?
Yeah. They did a live shot from here, I guess.
Sam's radar didn't go off.
But was she there when I was naked?
His transmitter pole didn't extend?
But it was... I mean, she was here, and it was really dark.
Who is she?
I don't know.
Sean Gables. She's a sister.
Huh. S-H-O-N?
Wow. Wow.
And wow.
Such a jerk.
Uncool, man.
I leaned over to search that on the internet.
Uncool. But
she likes the white man. She likes the white man.
But it does add. It does add.
I think I've seen her. I know
the stereotype of the black news person, doesn't it?
S-H-O-N, right?
And that they seem to get
S-H-O-N.
The crap assignments.
They
yeah.
seem to get the worst assignment.
Hey, it's
What's
raining.
Wrong with this assignment.
It's okay, raining.
Well,
go stand out there in the rain.
Let's think about it.
She's here at 5 a.m. She has to leave Dallas at 2:30.
They got here at 4.
She had to drive to Mingus.
So she had to drive from downtown Dallas.
Okay, so she had to probably leave about 2:00.
That's what they said.
Yeah,
they had to leave
here
at
4. Yeah, that's a crap. That's
think
the Gary
of that assignment.
Assignment. You think it was between her and Gary Reeves?
I'm pretty sure Brett Shipp wasn't called about this assignment. Let's just put it that way.
The story's probably going to be cut tonight too. Oh, sorry, we don't have time.
Right.
Right. That's the other plight of the black reporter.
Oh, they were actually doing a news story?
What do you think they were doing?
Well, I thought it was a live shot.
They're there just hanging out.
Oh, it wasn't a live shot?
Just a generic morning show time filler, which is
kind of
what the whole thing is?
Yeah, it kind of is.
The whole morning show?
As we go from a recipe book to, you know,
fashion tips. What are we?
No.
They do that on the
early time killers, like Bob.
We're doing important work.
They do that on the Cynthia Isagiri portion of the show at 5:00 in the morning.
Oh yeah,
recipes and stuff. I
oh,
thought that
yeah.
was reserved for the 9:00 Good Morning Texas.
They got her and Greg Fields doing push up contests and stuff. Yeah,
oh really?
For real?
Yeah.
So you get up that early sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, so very refreshing. I don't
or
know.
Get home.
I'm not sure where I was going with all that, but slept in today and refreshed. And
I think you were going with my. So you expect me to?
So lunch. Okay. So yeah, my job when we're on the road, that's where I was going, is to make sure we have provisions for the show because Dan's already going to be crabby most likely. Although you seem in very good spirits today.
Yeah, I got extra sleep too.
But one way to decrease the crabbiness is to make sure that we're not eating at 3:30 in the afternoon when we get off the air. So I at 11 was all packed up and ready to roll, and then I thought, okay, well, let me go gas up and look over our dining options here in Mingus.
So you drove around town?
Well, first of all, to find the gas station, and it's really old school. I mean, it's pre-pay at the pump sort of stuff, and you're just you're pulling up, and you're not sure is the gas station still in business. But you know, it's one of those.
Yeah, I did it on the way, so I wouldn't have to worry about this town.
And so I stopped there, and I'm kind of looking around for anything showing any sign of life in terms of lunch. And it looks like...
Did you meet the gas station owner from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Well, it was...
Uber? You,
it was actually...
He told you how much you have in your wallet is how much that gas will cost?
Well, yeah. It was like an elderly couple, and the lady was at the register, and the gentleman, and I assume they're married, but maybe they were just about to meet. I don't know. But he was sitting like at a card table at the back of the store, and he was kind of in his farming hat and overalls, and just I don't know what he was doing there. Maybe going over the paper, but
did you feel like Ari Gold, such a city guy, such a
dude,
fast talker?
That's one of the things I learned extremely early in life. You know, there are things you learn in your 20s and 30s, but there's something I learned pretty much in the womb, and that was I need a city. I can't do the small town. I grew up in a town of 30,000 and felt that was way too small. I always yearned for the city. I don't know why. I think it probably because that's where pro sports is. I don't know.
How big is Mingus?
A couple hundred, maybe?
Yeah, that's what they told us.
So, anyway, I look into the back of the gas station because I'm just looking for dining options, and I did see the old kind of Mexican taqueria kind of there in the back where it kind of looked like if you wanted some fajitas, you could get those. And I
always feel bad.
I'm always worried about the gas station taqueria.
But you know what? Those are always the best.
Oh, always?
Are they? Yes,
yeah.
They are.
I'm getting hungry just hearing about them.
Dude, I'm serious. I'm serious. A
I've
gas
always...
station, like if they serve tacos or burgers, always seem to be the best. You just don't worry about how they're made. You
they
just
might
go with
be,
the product and
but
eat it.
I'm thinking of what okay. Jules said about sewer rats in Pulp Fiction. That they may
it might taste like pumpkin pie,
but I'll never know
right.
because I just can't get around to trying it. So
it could be like Bob's Steak and Chop House. Oh, dear. I'm about to say something really funny. All right.
What's happening?
I just fired off. I didn't even touch anything.
Some misfire. Groups
has a big story he wants to.
Oh,
Groups
is
right
doing
now.
New sounder.
Oh, okay,
stick?
Go ahead.
All right, Groups.
I was about to say something.
Do your real funny news story.
The ticket is still broadcasting.
Wow.
So you
wow.
didn't even touch anything, huh?
No, swear to God, sounder. My T-Rex arms were looking over at something else.
Your spoon didn't slip?
I was on Facebook looking at all my likes.
So, I was just going to say, if Bob's Steak and Chop House was attached to a gas station, I would never go there.
If the only entrance was through the gas station?
You know what I mean? It just
yeah.
feels... I know that the KFC or the Taco Bell or the Subway or whatever is in that gas station, they're not related.
They it's not their fault.
They,
right.
They don't... go handle the oil and then go make your sandwich, but there's just something
right
about
like I'll buy
eating.
Pennzoil there, I'll buy the windshield wiper fluid, but I can't buy a
it's
a
just
sandwich.
Wrong it just feels
oh,
wrong to go to a gas
out.
Station to eat
missing out
like until they put gas pumps at the restaurant I'm not going to be comfortable with the mingling of these
yeah you always heard that truck stops were the places you always wanted to eat best food in the world is that truck stop I'm like whatever
yeah,
yeah, it's just tough.
It just feels weird. It feels dirty.
So I started thinking about the hypothetical we had, Donovan, years ago. What was the little town we had the hypothetical
Is that on
for?
The way to A&M?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Be 500 grand a year, but you can't leave the city limits for 10 years
Is
or something
Hearn?
Like that.
Or Cleaver.
Hearn.
No,
I think it was
I
Hearn.
I think it was Hearn.
Or
You're
Calvert.
Right.
Right. Hearn.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah, you just have to do a sports talk show in that city for 10 years. You get 500 grand a year, but you can never leave the city
right.
limits.
Right.
Boy, I might do it here, though. If you got this lake.
Oh, yeah.
I'm such an outdoorsman now.
Yeah, but I was kind of thinking you got to stay on, like, the main drag.
Yeah,
and just walk back and forth between the gas station and the closed-down nightclub.
Staying here is going to knock your salary down.
Well, I'd be drinking at that boar's nest.
Yeah, yeah, you got the boar's nest. So, I think we found lunch.
Do you know there's... They said, I think... Who told me this? I think... Eric, do you know? There's 200-some people here and 7 bars?
No.
Yeah.
It's like 2.
No.
The 7?
Yeah, I was told that by a resident.
Really?
Right.
You're meeting locals.
Yeah, you know. I've just been hanging out a bit in Mingus.
Well, we are on the outskirts of Mingus, and we will be here till 3 o'clock.
Now, don't tell my wife. I told her camping was through Monday. Don't tell her we're supposed to be back. I don't want to go to a soccer game tomorrow.
Weekend at the men's club for Dan. Well, good luck, man. All right, so anyway, we found lunch, and we can proceed with sports talk and camping talk. And what's the R&R Game Ranch website, Tom? Do you know that one? Because I want to plug these very, very fine P1s who have been so kind to accommodate us.
This facility is so awesome.
What's this I heard that I won the camp out?
Oh,
yeah,
you did.
Yeah, we had the
what
rose ceremony.
You won.
The,
best camper.
Yeah, yeah. Who won the camp out? That means
let's carry that over.
Okay.
Let's figure out how Dan was honored as best camper, since that's either a very ironic award or he did something very special. I grew up in a town of 30,000.
We don't thank the sales rep that set up Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Come on!
With the tiny tent.
Well, that was
and the
tiny tent.
The little sleeping bag, that the little door of the Explorer sleeping bag that you hooked us up with. Come on, support Academy, sales guy. Buy the good stuff.
What if you find out this is one of your...
I've been to Academy. I bought stuff from Academy. They have better than what you've provided us with.
What if you find out this is one of your allies in the
Who?
Sales department?
One of the girls?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess then I'll say, Bob made me say that.
Jerk.
He makes me say the bad stuff on the air. You know how it is.
All right, we have a lot of...
It's a radio show.
How about some coffee?
I'm Groobs, your hostess with the mostest.
At 2:30, I think we're going to risk our first ever Mingus rolling screenless.
Unless you count last night.
Yeah.
Hey, good job, Groobs, coming in. Working off the clock.
Thanks.
Saved it.
We appreciate that.
Did I save it with the solo?
What's his name? Donnie, good dude. He's just, I mean, Grooves is a Hall of Famer.
He needs his at-bats in rookie league and so work somehow, his way up, you know? I mean, you can't expose a prospect. Couple,
but we were asking for female callers and such the night before. Not one. We couldn't find one. Grooves had them all screened out.
Well, that was all Donnie screened.
You know, Dan, a couple people
got... Oh, good. Then Donnie just didn't have time to screen and run the
ball. Yeah, it's tough.
Stretch so thin.
Yeah, a couple people got hurt.
Okay, well then, good job, Donnie, for screening well.
Yes.
We put him on the mound to start. Maybe he's just a bullpen guy.
Sometimes it's your fault, you know, if you overexpose your players.
And, you know, I guess good job me, because I won the camp out. I didn't even know
now what
until
time?
I woke up.
Well, yeah, you won the camp out, but...
Re-woke up. I went back to sleep till 11.
Doesn't this start with Late Night Ticket? Because Late Night Ticket had a very odd element to it in that there was no snake. And that's...
Wow!
My experience at campouts is that Corby's always ready to contribute late at night. And this... usually with something in his hand known as a bottle.
Did he pass out?
I just think that first night got him so...
But he's
just
like...
Just whipped everybody and he just couldn't take it. He passed out.
But he was Mr. Oh, I'm pacing myself tonight. Yeah. This is why I'm not going too crazy tonight.
But no one expected...
Man, tomorrow...
No one expected freezing temperatures and 30 minutes of sleep from everyone, you know?
Yeah, and I guess we found out who the lightweights are.
Cause right.
Corby was sleepy by the time BYU was done, like at 9:30.
He's Mr. Whiskey.
Not last night. He just disappeared, and we all assumed he was ready to make his big appearance. Like, I don't know, was he talking to his wife, or was he blogging? Was he, I don't know, what he working on a script?
He was like on Facebook. But the worst thing about it is how he just left.
Yeah.
He didn't...
No apologies, no
excuses. He didn't
excuses.
Come say anything, or he didn't talk about the fact that he felt real bad. He just... He did the disappearing act, and I think that's rude to do at a party.
His people can move very quietly.
That's actually your move.
Whoa, Tom.
It's a skill. I'm jealous.
So,
gosh.
I didn't hear what Tom
said.
It's
kind of racist, yeah.
It's not kind of
racist.
Yeah,
it's a compliment.
Jeez.
Is it racist?
So, if there are no people left to... complain.
So anyway, I thought, as I'm looking around, and you know, your instincts just take over, if one funny guy goes to sleep early, another funny guy has to step up.
That's where you came in?
And so I stayed up with the late night ticket to try to help you guys.
You know what, Bob? You were funny last night.
In very small doses.
The NFL draft humor had me rolling. I loved that.
See, but if anyone was going to unveil NFL draft humor after dark, because during daylight it would be...
It wasn't
going to
be Mike. Did the power hour between 9 and 10.
And he was done.
Wow.
He was done. George was just concentrating on...
I think he should have been in contention for MVP.
He was. He was mentioned.
And Gordo...
Was it fun to hear Ryan's try to do the presidents after
the
power
hour?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was great. And then, after it took him 10 minutes to go back and forth and stumble through it and have you correct him no less than 10 times... then you're like, good job, good job. What do you mean, good job? He's just, the worst ever.
Funny thing, he gave up after Reagan. He said Reagan and the rest of them.
You know him.
Come on.
By the way, our, you know, when we're not in Dallas, then Tom kind of rolls in a little bit late. We don't have any of that audio ready now. We will at 2:10.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And incredible. But anyway, so yeah, I stayed up well past my bedtime. I think the last time I was on the ticket after midnight, there was probably a Joe Nieuwendyk overtime winner in Edmonton or something in a Stars playoff postgame show. And so I go to bed and don't think anything more of the evening, but I know the ticket is in great hands with Dan and Rhines and Giorgio, although Georgie was punting pretty quick as well. And who else was still
George
left?
George stuck it out till the very end.
Donnie was still left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going to bed when I went.
Nope.
Okay. And then I just wake up this morning and check the Twitter feed, and I'm pretty sure Dan tweeted at 4 a.m. Is that possible?
3-something. 3:15, 30.
Man, you're aggressive. How do you do that? So I guess that's...
Like, you know how you say...
Aggressiveness.
In your clock, you wake up at the same time every day? Today was an exception, but usually weekend, Saturday.
0700.
My clock, I go to sleep at the same time every day, no matter what I've done all day. No matter how much sleep I got the night before, I still go to sleep at 3 o'clock every night, or 3:30.
Well,
and then wake up on a varying schedule.
But then if it's the compound or the camp out, that,
like, I can wake up at noon on a Saturday.
Everyone.
Or I can wake up at, you know, bright and early, like at 10 on a Wednesday.
We've all acclimated to the life of Dan, and we don't ask him to change, and we marvel. But that means on compound and camp out days that you will be harassed by Gordon. And the question is not if, it's when during the morning show.
I tried to offer money on Twitter and have someone tell him that I'd pay him if he did, waited till Gordo's corner.
How much, though? $20?
$20 sum was not enough to buy him out.
And I had that 20 with me.
Where? Where did you have it?
The tent had a little hanging pocket thing.
Okay, good.
Because I wasn't clothed.
It wasn't on you.
I was not wearing clothes.
So do we have audio of that we could play right now?
We do.
This is Dan's MVP moment that, well, here it is. So we'll play it right now.
Hold on.
We're right outside the tent of Dan McDowell.
He looks so comfy.
He does. I wonder when he went to sleep.
Set it on fire.
It was after one, I know that much.
Here, I'll get the deer leg.
Okay.
Now, does he still sleep nude at these things?
Rain cape, as Gordo calls it. Or Junior calls it.
Creepy, Mike?
Totally.
The deer leg. Morning, Dan.
Oh, God, it smells.
Morning, George.
Smell that.
Why are you doing that?
I'm not doing it. He is doing it.
Why are you supporting that?
I'm not supporting it. I'm against it.
It's a wake-up smell.
Listen.
Hi there, Mr. Dan.
Here, I'll throw it in your
hey, Mike.
Don't
last night, after the deer carcass was thrown on Corby.
Do not put that in his tent.
Don't.
Gross. He just put it right by his...
I'm sorry, Dan.
I don't approve of that message.
This is the
dear leg loves you. Hello, Dan. It is me. He loved dear leg.
All right.
You know what's great?
What's great?
Camping and sleeping naked.
You're not naked?
Are you really?
Woo!
Oh, my God! Oh, no!
Oh, no! He is naked!
We saw his penis!
Oh, my God!
See how bulbous his balls were? Gross!
Oh, man!
Oh, did you get racked recently or something?
God!
It looked like an acorn laying on top of a beanbag.
Oh, man!
That was awesome.
Wow!
Thanks, Dan.
Wow. Boy, what a moment.
I knew we should go see Dan first. That's awesome.
Isn't it, like, unsanitary to have your bare ass right there on those covers?
You're the one who just picked up a deer leg.
Well, yeah.
You sleep naked, you can get testicular torsion.
But his butt smells like a decomposing deer leg.
So does mine.
Good counter.
Genius.
Yes,
that one, Dan, camper of the year. Wow.
Gordo shows you one leg, you show him yours.
So was it like a pure flash, like you had the sleeping bag unzipped and just flew it back?
Yeah, I had the air mattress, I laid on the sleeping bag, and then I have a blanket. I have to bring my own blanket, as you know.
And then you just thought...
Here. So I just pulled it off. And my whole body. I didn't do a tiny flash.
He just let it go.
I just let him see my whole... Everything.
Feet towards them, head towards them.
Spread eagle?
Yeah, I'm sideways. They're sideways, laying, looking right down
into me. Oh, okay.
And so hopefully they got some...
George Costanza pose.
And they wondered if you got racked recently.
Are things kind of bruised down there?
So there's a lot going on now.
Oh, no.
What a funny line, though, where Gordo's wondering about the sanitary elements to it while carrying around a deer carcass.
We tried to tell, because that's when we went on the ride around the...
That's one thing that radio is not doing justice, right?
Ranch, and he...
What Gordo's been doing with that dead deer.
Yeah, he just stopped and picked it up and put it in the back of the four-wheeler.
So it looked like it had been...
What are you doing?
Dead for a while. It wasn't fresh.
It was dead for a long time.
But it still had fur all over it.
Just a little,
and it was like dry and crispy. The skin would be crispy.
When he put it in the four-wheeler, you can hear about 10 bones cracking.
There were birds picking at it if you drove by it the other day and saw it. And then he carried it over on a stick while we were sitting around the campfire.
Deer on a stick.
Early, like 9 p.m. hour or so.
This is probably what knocked Corby out for the night.
This is before Mavs post-game show.
Yeah, he was awake for that, yeah.
Like, this is what made Corby
was pretty PO'd.
He walked it over, and from behind Corby, dropped it in Corby's lap.
Jeez!
A dead...
decomposing, rotting deer.
Little ticks, little things on it. Who knows what kind of disease is on that thing.
Did Corby scream?
Oh, yeah.
He called him a D that had to be dumped.
Well, no, everybody was yelling at Gordon. And then he ended up, right when the Mavs postgame show started, so we're listening to Sean Bass.
Which, by the way, I'm sorry I had to interrupt the fun.
That's all right.
I felt really bad about that.
Look, a win over the T-Wolves
needs
to be heralded.
That. Yeah. Sure.
So, we just hear you talking about the game while Gordon... Or no, this happened on the air too. Maybe it was before Sean Bass.
He held
the deer up. Now the stick is through the deer's backside, kind of.
Right before we went to break.
And he dipped the head into the fire and then pulled it out, and the head is like a little torch. The deer head is burning.
Because he wanted to see what it smelled like. That's why he put it in the fire.
What is he, five?
You know what?
Because the more you tell him not to do something, he's going to do it. That's... Everyone said, dude, leave it alone, take it back. And someone mentioned about coyotes might come and try to get it, and that still didn't deter him.
Although controversial, I'm sure those moves had to put him in contention for MVP.
Oh, definitely.
Yes, he was in the mix, yes.
It does remind you, though. It does remind you of a lesson that we learn over and over and over again. And that is, and it's kind of the Peter principle in life. Like, you may be...
Peter.
You may be the best-looking girl in Mingus. Just don't go to Los Angeles because of that, because the competition gets a lot stiffer along the way as you graduate from city to city. You may be the best basketball player in Sun Prairie. Just stay there. Don't go to Madison.
You'll be a legend if you stay
there. Wait for the NBA to come to you.
Right.
People will wonder.
Right.
And for that franchise in Sun Prairie.
Right.
And I guess in the battle of wits, taking on Gordon is like Tyson in his prime, because Gordon will not think anything of throwing a deer carcass at you without you knowing. If you have any sort of...
I have a prank I'd like to play on Gordon. Well, he will one-up you.
But then after...
Oh, you have that audio?
Throwing a deer carcass? Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
No, I'll get to that.
What?
This is very difficult. I'll get to who it is.
This is during junior shift.
I can only sit on chairs. Boys. When I lie on a couch, I can hear her screaming. It's the ghost of the couch lady.
The couch lady. What does the couch lady do?
Oh my God! What is this?
Her skin was grafted into a couch as her family fed her, and she died. And Dr. Keith told us about this story years ago.
Yes.
Get this cord off of it. God.
No, I'm just really having problems.
Junior
now
can't see what's going on.
Because when I have blackouts, I've sometimes fed the couch spaghetti.
All right, so Junior, a real rotting deer carcass was just thrown on Corby
by Gordo.
Not only one of those stuffed.
Caller, thank you for your story. I hope you're okay with the couch lady. Okay, now what happened?
Found in the woods or whatever. You got to see this thing.
Is it fresh?
Buzz.
No, it's dried out.
It's almost petrified.
Would this go down as a tough transcript to understand if you were to be reading this back in the court of law to the judge? So the caller's conversation, I have no idea what's going on, but then...
The couch lady, whose skin has been made into a couch, and they fed her until she died?
Gosh.
But then that's interrupted because a dead deer... Wow. So good luck wondering if you can do what they can do, because there appears to be no bounds. Wow.
Well, there you go.
So somehow
that's compound.
You won camp off. So good work there.
Hey, thanks, man.
Plan the hits while you spray your pits.
I love the ticket.
Thanks to Eric and Tony. They are breaking down a lot of the stuff they set up around the campfire, and they're working hard.
They really are. They did a great job this
really
week.
Great job.
Eric, with Frito gone, even maybe with Frito here, Eric might be darkest comedy guy off air that I know. And I appreciate him for that. All right, we're going to do Daily Donovan.
We never got our game of catch-in.
Dude, I brought my mitt.
I did, too.
I did also. Let's do it before we leave.
Why didn't you do it?
Georgie had a mitt. I don't know. We were just busy.
Aren't we going to practice for the great game?
We were busy four-wheeling. We were busy.
Yeah, Bob and I took a ride, a four-wheel ride, which when you go that way, you end up on this kind of a side of a little mountain, a mini mountain. And Bob was very close to toppling off.
Very close? How dare you?
How much you want to make a bet? I can throw a football over the mountains.
I was white knuckled, you know? Yeah. Just holding on extra tight to that bar because Bob is...
He's a city slicker. Don't worry about him.
Bob thinks he's, you know, Mr. Off-Road vehicle guy that doesn't need to observe
look how he drives
limits.
On the
sure
snow.
Does.
You've been hyping him up a little
it
bit.
It is exactly
you know?
Like driving in the snow. And in the snow, you know, if we veer off and run into something, well, first of all, it's Bob's car, so I don't care. And then we're just kind of stuck on the side of the road. Now we're in a little Jeep thing, and I could be flung out to my death, or certainly to my great injury. And Bob doesn't seem to be worried about that.
I would describe my driving style as part Indiana Jones, part amazing.
That's good. You know, Gordon...
Hey, and he got us here, so I'm not going to deny that.
Did I tell you that Gordon, Rich, and I took a four-wheel ride around?
What a weird company.
And we went halfway, and we had to turn around, and Gordon, I thought he was pulling a prank on me. When he said, hey, Donovan, get out and make sure I don't, you know, go over the side. And I thought once he got a little clearance, he was just going to take off. And I had no idea where the hell I was around here.
You
and
know,
I'm telling you.
I wouldn't put that past him.
Right, right. So
I wouldn't get out of the car.
As soon as he got a little bit of clearance, like he could go, I'd jump right back in. I just did not want to take that chance. Love you, Gordon. But
by the way, did you guys go all across the lake?
Yeah, we went all the way around.
We went down right in front.
And
Bob couldn't figure out how to get there.
I couldn't find the road.
So. A lot of you had to look for the tire marks. We just followed tire marks.
It wasn't in my maps, go.
We had one email from a running punchline this week that I just wanted to read for a moment. Roy, who is our 80s iced tea movie expert, is trying to clarify the plot of Surviving the Game, a movie that I'm not sure anyone saw.
I saw it.
I saw it, too.
But it's been so long.
But I might have been in either late high school or early college. Yeah. I don't remember the year of it.
Baked.
But, it's pretty obvious that back then I thought movies involving, like, Howie Long and Steven Seagal and... You know,
Van Damme.
I had a different taste in movies back then.
All right. Top five actors of 1990 or '89?
Yeah. Yeah. Van Damme.
Howie Long. Howie Long would have been accepting the award.
I've come a long ways. I also watched Saturday Night Main Event back then and hoped dearly that Hulkster could finally do away with Andre the Giant.
Right, right.
But anyway, he reminds us of the plot. He says Ice-T doesn't think he's part of a hunting party. That was our claim that he thought he was going out into the woods hunting with a bunch of probably white supremacists or whatever, and then found out that he was the prey, and then the whole movie is they're trying to hunt him down.
Yeah.
Apparently,
that sounds like a good movie.
According to Roy, though, he's a homeless guy, and they tell him they are going to give him a job and pay him a sum of money for a day's work.
Ah.
And that's what it turned out to be the best part of the movie, Roy writes.
That's more believable.
Yeah. The best part of the movie, Roy writes, is when Ice-T backtracks to the cabin and finds a trophy closet full of preserved heads.
Oh.
And then he writes LOL. So, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I need to reacquaint myself with
What's the
Surviving
movie called?
The Game.
Surviving the Game?
Surviving the Game, yes.
Yeah, I feel like if we roll by Target, it might be in the $2.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Charles Dutton is one of the hunters also. The one who played Rock on that TV series. He was the only other brother.
We may need to all watch that and give it a thorough reviewing here at some point.
It does make more sense, though. Why would he be a hunting buddy, like a friend that they know?
No, I don't think
a
buddy, just a periphery acquaintance, maybe.
But, as you know, as we were trying to think yesterday on who we could kill and leave here on the 700 acres, because you could certainly hide a body.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to hide a body in, like, Louisville in a neighborhood, it would be far more difficult than if you had 700 acres
right,
of land.
Right, right.
But it couldn't be done with someone that's here and that we know. I mean, not even Tony, even though you voted that that'd be the guy you'd want.
Oh, sorry, Tony.
Because
voted.
What we would need is, yeah, you'd need to befriend a homeless guy or go tell someone to hop in your truck because you got some work for him today.
I think Tony would be the only one who would agree to go. Like, Tony, you want to roll? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nice guy. Tony,
he'll go anywhere. He'll do anything.
You need someone that you're not attached to in any way. And if you brought a friend or even a periphery friend hunting, well, someone would know, you know, his wife would know that they went. So that wouldn't make sense for the plot. So it sounds like that movie's getting even better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, usually, though, Dan, you wouldn't just go find someone for the purposes of killing them unless you're really sick. Usually you kill someone because they've done something to bother you. So why would a total stranger, in my experience of killing people, it would always be they...
Was the motive.
You. Yeah, you need a motive. You don't just go find a random person.
Sports.
Yeah, sport. Fun.
This weekend we wanted to kill someone this weekend.
My motive is sports.
It is sports.
And as sports term, you should really understand that.
All right, let's go now live to Donovan Lewis, who has this report.
Thank you, Bob. Dan, you guys like camping?
Yeah, camping.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what?
Yeah.
Give me one more night. Get the crew back out here. Let's run the rant tomorrow morning. I'm ready.
I swear.
Camp out!
See, this is the best day. No wind. It's not windy.
I want to start a fire up and do it again tonight.
See, I'm with you.
I'm ready. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Give me a little bigger tent, a little more opulence, and I'll be better.
We just need weather certainty.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Better weather and a bigger tent.
Like this
it's
would
just
be
hard to fit in that tent. I had to sleep diagonally.
The R&R Game Ranch would be even better if they had like a outdoor thermostat and like it was like a biodome and you could just.
You're taller than I am. My head, I couldn't fit lengthwise. I had to sleep diagonally on that mattress. Did you?
I always
or do you curl up?
I sleep fetus style, yes.
With your pillow between your legs?
Yes.
That's so cute.
My knees can't be touched.
So what did you do if you didn't bring, or did you bring two pillows, like a gay?
No, I have no pillows, so I actually had to have a flap of the sleeping bag between my knees.
Okay. All right.
Just like the skin touching?
I don't know what it is,
mentally
but
bothers
knee
you?
Bone on knee bone makes it impossible for me to sleep.
Okay.
And I feel like I need to open up and tell society about this problem.
Very nice.
By the way, we're also getting word that Surviving the Game is streamable on Netflix.
You think?
Well, how dare you? So you don't even have to go to Target and dig through the $2.
No, I don't have Netflix.
F those other N's, because I'm down with my N's.
Hey, the black man got me not to say the N-word anymore.
Well,
still not hiring you.
Yoda, you there?
Here, I hear.
Oh, we have Yoda from the Dagobah system. Is it just Dagobah?
No, it's Dagobah, not
Dagobah.
Dagobah.
Dagobond. It's like a vagabond.
Uh-oh, here we got some creep breaking out.
You ready, Yoda?
Come on, Yoda.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We're...
Hold on. Google
now
it.
Now you gotta
lyrics.
Wait for. Oh, jeez.
Load lyrics. Here we go.
Stop leaving us in the loop here.
And a one.
Oh, okay.
Pretty before. Could it look you in the eye? You're just like angels.
Told you we'd see Martians out here.
Your totally. Skin makes me cry. Cry it does.
What?
You blow like a feather. In a beautiful world.
It's just major.
I wish I was special. Ready?
Don't cuss, Yoda.
You're so blanket special.
Effing.
But I'm a creep. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Whoa.
Excuse me.
Oh, God.
More?
Is it the same?
More than what? I want a perfect body.
No, wait.
He wants a perfect body.
I want a perfect soul. I want you to notice when I'm not around. You're so blanket special.
Drop it. We'll dump it.
I wish I was special. But I'm a creep. Creep I am.
221.
Weirdo, I am.
Dude,
what
that's.
Am I doing here?
That's a great bit.
I don't.
Is it Grover or Yoda?
Both. What was the third one?
I was going to call it Grota.
Yeah, Miss Piggy called in and said, stop stealing my voice.
Miss Grota.
Oh, big finish.
Okay. Look at Normie, has no idea what's happening.
I'm right there with him.
Run! Run!
Get it high.
Run! Uh-oh. Run!
Ah, part of the camp out.
Campouts are fun, Bob.
Campouts are fun.
Tell you what, though.
You're on the ticket.
Adding the bass guitar to that makes it sound wonderful.
Yeah, you need the bass on Creep, man. For sure. Are you discovering Radiohead because of Yoda, Dan?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I downloaded that song today.
What a great CD that would be.
I can't wait till my drive home.
Yeah, Creeps, mid-90s classic.
So Pablo, how about Honey? That?
Yeah, Pablo Honey, indeed.
Maybe you should say, you're welcome to Radiohead. How many sales did you give them this week?
At least one, right? Maybe as many as five. So, yes, Radiohead, you're welcome.
I took a picture right during that. Like when Gordo or somebody said, Norm has no idea what's going on.
About Radiohead or Yoda?
Just the whole thing. Whole camp out.
Norm knows a lot of things, but Radiohead and Yoda are probably not in his wheelhouse.
Anyway, I took that picture but did not tweet it. It was an unauthorized, and I felt weird about tweeting. I don't know.
Oh, dear. What the hell?
Easy, Donovan. It's just a
What
beat.
Just happened?
Dude, if I get stung, I'm going to turn into the Nutty Professor.
I'm trying to teach you like I teach my kids. You...
But it flew on me.
...are the king of nature.
Not when it flies on me like
you
that,
You can
dude.
Make lions extinct if you want. If you feel like it.
Why lions?
They were the former king of nature, right? You are the king of them. We can do whatever we want. Don't be scared of that
bee. Not
when
they fly on me.
Okay. What building do we work in? We work in this 13 or a 16 floor, 19 floor, whatever.
Sure. Go with it.
What if there was a bee that big? Would you be really scared?
Of the size of the building?
Yeah.
Yes.
The size of the building. Okay, when the bee sees you, that's what he sees, a being that big. You shouldn't, the building shouldn't be scared of you.
Well, why do they use their little stinger to make me sad?
You know what makes me sad?
You do!
You jackwagon. Anyway, I felt weird about tweeting personal pictures and stuff, but now I don't feel weird. Now that he's gone.
You want Yoda to sign a waiver, or Norm?
Yeah, would you allow me to tweet this, Bob, on my account?
Well, now you're making...
What's my account name? Bracket Dan?
Now you're making me wonder what this picture is.
Are you making Bob an accomplice?
No. I'm going to show...
If your sensibilities are bothered by it.
I just felt like when we're all sitting around the campfire, tweeting thoughts were okay, but...
But broadcasting to thousands.
And right. Those thoughts were fine, but I just personal pictures of Norm looking really downtrodden and not knowing what's going on. So I just tweeted that to all of my...
How does Norm not win the MVP of the camp out? Oh, nearly 4,000, I think. I think you're doing very well.
He's over 4,000.
Is he?
Yes.
Bob pats me on my head and rubs my hair.
You're off to a very nice start.
As far as not sleeping in a tent, things like that, just being a goat and eating everything in sight.
No.
With Norm?
Putting up with all of us.
Yes.
And I think you had gone to bed already. And we were in this, at the very end of the night, we were in this knee pad mode where Mike had too much liquor in him. And we got into the I love you guys. And
he dropped his guard.
Dude, he totally turned into one of the guys in Superbad.
He did.
Just couldn't believe, just wanted to talk about love. And
wow, I think I want to hear that.
Well, you can hear some of it. But I threw out there that Norm does, for all we give him... Especially George, the flack he gives him. Norm takes a tremendous beating, but just moves on, and he's a great sport, and he has fun. And I don't know if he has fun. At least he pretends he's having
fun.
Well,
I was going to say, I joke with my wife about the Carmela Soprano syndrome, and this may be a long way to make this quick point, but I would just say to my wife that we were very happy as a married couple in an 800-foot apartment in Valley Ranch when he first came to town, and everything was happy, and we were fine, and we had very low standards for what would make us happy. A quick dinner at Chick-fil-A, and then let's go to a movie. And that was we got by, and we were very happy. And then, stakes get higher and higher and things get nicer. And then if you were asked to magically go back to that same apartment and, the same forms of what vacation meant, which might be, let's stay here. You know, just your standards change. It's why you should never sit in first class on an airplane, because for your entire life you think coach is fine. But then they make you fly first class one time, and now coach is ruined forever.
Yeah, you should never do anything better.
Never stay in a nice hotel. It's going to ruin all the normal hotels for you. And that's why I...
Tickets to sporting events.
I'm very impressed with Norm in that he has had a life that has elevated him to, opulence and servants and all the things that he has had in life, and yet he can still sleep on an air mattress outside and... No one complains less than Norm. In fact, as soon as the sun rises, he's ready to get back to what are the Rangers going to do with their 40-man before opening day. And,
let's herald Norm.
That's his real passion.
But, man, no one, really wants to actually talk sports more than that guy either. Like,
and it's not an act.
It's a beating.
No matter who he's sitting by, he wants to know what they think of what's going on.
Here's how much he wants to talk sports. So much... that Bob might choose to sit a little away from him so he doesn't.
But it's,
that's amazing.
It's almost...
He talks so much sports, it beats down Bob.
Not all the time.
On
occasion.
And you would think there's no level of sports that you would be beat by, but you are.
Dude, but it's so out the blue. You know, we'll sit around and everyone's laughing and we're talking about Lord knows what. Then all of a sudden, as the laughter is dying down, Norm will say, Bob, is Wisconsin running a 2-3 zone tonight against, and it's no one's expecting it. It's like, okay, dude.
Bob, what are your thoughts about what Florida is doing in their recruiting?
He is so he's the king of the sports sucker punch.
I love him, but he's never off air. He never goes into off air, quiet, recycle mode. And he's, what, late 60s now?
66, he said, right?
Okay, so mid-60s. But if you were to forecast the expiration date for anyone around here, you can start to say, how long does this person want to keep doing this? I know that came up yesterday at the campfire. Ryan's, how long do you want to keep doing this? And, whether he's got beer in him or not changes the end date. But Norm, I swear to you, it would not shock me if in 2020... he's still going strong on the ticket, or 2025. I mean,
what date do you think he'll?
He's never going to retire. My point is, he's never going to retire.
No, he's like Gaddafi, man.
Never project his death date. That's way too sick. I hope he lives as long as he wants, and maybe he will prove to be immortal when this is all said and done.
You know, just because you're crossing your fingers doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
You're a jerk, Lee Corso.
You are a big jerk,
and that's true. He might outlive all of us.
Well, he
might, dude.
He won't outlive me.
I'll make sure of it. I mean, it's
if I'm dying, Groove's a rusted
yes.
arm with pillow.
Smell
you,
this, Norm.
Norm.
Anyway,
don't fight it. Don't fight it.
Listen, just going to sleep.
So, do you see my picture I tweeted? Are you looking at Twitter, Bob?
No,
I thought you looked at Twitter every second of every day. No, I don't have it. I tweeted it.
Oh, okay. So passive aggressive of you. You could have just said, can you look at Twitter?
I know, but I'm about to retweet another great line, I think, too, because Bob was talking about how he went out and looked for gas today.
What? What does that mean?
No, you went out looking for a gas station.
I did.
And you described the really small town scene that was in there with the old man playing checkers and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, Norm.
Did you see this one?
Norm does look beaten here. That's a very good picture.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's during the singing campout. And Norm, it's like, why am I here? I don't know. I really wonder what Lone Star Park is doing now.
Wally and Leon would never make me sit through this. They didn't even like Radiohead.
Do you think when Bob paid for the gas and asked for the food, did he flip a coin and ask the old man to call it?
What?
funny. I get it.
I don't.
No Country?
Oh, geez, really?
Come on, dude, that's gold.
Well, no, it's gold, but it's obscure for me. I've only seen that movie once.
So. Me too. I'm sorry to have to make you think a little bit to get a joke.
Whoa, wow, man. Everyone's on the edge with this camping thing.
Yeah.
All you do is jokes.
Camper!
People need a shower.
If all you do is jokes from Planes, Trains, and Dumb and Dumber, I can stick with you. So
Last Day's
going to
turn into Lord of the Flies out there.
No kidding.
Like, what if I would have walked out of the gas station, looked at the two brothers standing there on the curb, and said, big gulps, huh? Well, see you later.
See, now that one, you would have been high-fiving me and
absolutely
running around doing the low man, the shack. The Shaq roast low man run.
We need to bring, you know how
Dion,
we
boy, the Dion off air.
That Norm does look like he's not going to make it.
Wearing his pajamas. And just
he looks
kinda
like he wants to throw himself into the fire pit.
Yeah.
He's like, I wonder how long it would take for me to die if I just jumped into this fire.
I guess I got too sentimental about how much I loved everyone the other night, and I thought, you know what, I shouldn't tweet this right now about Norm. But now, I've come
welcome
to
welcome back, Dave.
It is good. You know what?
Damn.
Most radio stations don't make their hardworking employees do this, but in a weird way, I'm very happy we do, because we don't see as much of everyone as we'd like, and this is fun. It's fun just to hang out with these guys. And
it's fun to do bad things.
Not have to do anything, but yeah, just do bad things.
Yeah, if we didn't have to do this, this would be even better.
What,
like, they should just send us out here for a week not doing shows, just the night show.
That's good. I like what you're saying.
Thank you.
That's very good. All right, so
and we'll air Dan Patrick and stuff during the day.
In closing, Camp Out Good, Screenless, maybe better, and finally, I think we all want to bring back the Big Gulps audio that Groobs has let get dusty for the last 5 years.
Uh-oh.
Don't you think? Don't you think that was a very important spine of our show?
That was passive-aggressive.
No, that was aggressive-aggressive. That was aggressive.
That was passes aggressives.
That was degresses.
He can't even find
degresses.
Look how flustered he is.
Where are we?
What?
Wow, now he's challenged your manhood.
What did Berea say, Dan? What was his aggressive?
Aggressive.
235 on the ticket.
Hey, guys. Whoa, Big Gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
Suck it.
Well, I think you should be suspended for calling in and giving such a bogus conversation.
Did you kill Bill Walsh?
Good afternoon. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Hey, look at that, yes. Donovan.
That's why I got up.
That's a big spider.
Move your bag.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air. Talk to us.
Dan, got a joke for you.
Really?
Yes. If you woke up one morning, got really drunk the night before, looked over to your nightstand, jar of Vaseline on the nightstand, your butt hurt really bad, would you tell anybody?
What am I supposed to say here for the punchline?
Well, answer.
Oh,
yes.
Say
you,
no?
You, you yeah, he asked you a question.
Oh, okay.
He's probably got a counter for either answer.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, then, no, sir, I would not.
Okay, well, then, you want to go camping?
Okay, well, now what if he would have said yes?
Well, yes, sir, I would.
Then I wouldn't have come back.
Oh, okay.
But see, he fell for it, so.
Yeah, I did.
I fell for it. You got
burn,
me.
Burn.
All right, hi, you're on The Ticket. Good afternoon. Go ahead.
May I speak to Bracket Dan, please?
Oh, yes, sir.
Man. Hey, first of all, real quick, just wanted to congratulate you on, defeating AIDS and everything.
Yes, I believe I've helped a lot of people by winning Camp Out.
Yeah. Anyway, your hard-hitting analysis with the with the brackets last week really helped me out, and I was just wondering if you could kind of break down the hockey college brackets for me.
Frozen Four, Dan. How do your brackets look there?
No, I can't. Hi, you're on The Ticket. Good afternoon. Yes, go ahead, sir, please.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Nothing. Could you turn your radio up, please?
Sorry, I just turned it down. I'm trying to drive here.
That's passive-aggressive. Passive-aggressiveness.
Sorry.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys hear?
But I like it.
In the town you guys are at, there's the Deer Gay Bar.
I don't. Didn't Gordon issue this joke?
Oh yeah, the Deer Gay Bar.
Yeah,
I think Gordon issued this joke.
it's right down the street from where you guys are at. So supposedly you can go in there and you can blow $30 like that.
I said Gordon issued that joke. It's the same thing.
Camp out!
Camp out! Yay,
camp out!
Yeah!
Good afternoon.
We're camping.
You are on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Oh, hey, Dan. It's your old pal, Dirty Dave Dave Jesus. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, you're on The Ticket.
Hey, good afternoon.
Oh, that's rude.
Yeah, let's. We can move on from this, dude.
Oh.
Good afternoon. You are on The Ticket. Go ahead. He got his punchline out. That's the punchline.
And Hipper Roach have poo-poo butt.
Good afternoon. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that. I don't know if this is the proper format or forum or not, but I just want to complain about my employer a little bit. They didn't pay me today. They were supposed to. Like, there's 17 of us that work there, and 15 of us didn't get paid. I just wanted to tell everybody what a crappy employer I have.
All right. Hi, you're on The Ticket.
Was that something to get?
I don't know.
To understand?
I think he probably wanted to tell us who he worked for, but...
Huh.
All right. We're actually asking people about their brackets today, so we have to get back to that.
Oh, I forgot. Okay.
Hi, Ticket.
Badger.
Oh! Don't you make fun of Wisconsin.
I'm sorry. Oh, did I talk
do it again.
His...
Yeah, do it again. Do it
sorry,
again.
Start over. Go.
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone?
What did he say?
That was
I
our
thought he just wanted to sing.
No, that was our F Gribble guy.
Oh, was it really? Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Oh, well.
Maybe he'll call back.
Can't end with that then, right?
No. We didn't hear it.
Hi, Ticket. Hello.
Make it a little more drawn out for Tom.
Hello, you're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Right, a little less.
Yeah, sometimes I stick chess pieces up my butt. And then when I go to retrieve them, I call it searching for anal fissure.
Hi, you're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Yeah, hi, guys. Bad Radio.
Hey.
You know, I'm kind of disappointed you guys didn't have brackets for your horseshoes, like 2v2 horseshoes or volleyball tournament or something.
Hi, you're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Dan, I think you're a dildo of the highest order, and I'd like to fight you on Fight Night.
Yeah, you couldn't beat me. I'd kill you, dude. I'd kill you.
Yeah, I could, brother.
Yeah, I'd kick your ass. What's your dimensions?
My dimensions?
Yeah, how tall are you? How much do you weigh?
I'm half white, a quarter Mexican, and a quarter black.
Oh, that would make me feel so good to beat you up because I hate white people. How tall are you?
You could only be half of me up then.
How tall are you?
Yeah.
What about the other half?
How tall are you? How much do you weigh? Because I'd love to...
He's black from the waist down.
I'm about 5'3", 275.
Okay. Now he's doing a bit.
Yep.
It's pretty hot.
But I would beat this guy's ass if I didn't have this shoulder injury. I have a shoulder injury,
right,
and
right.
It just it flares up every August.
You're on a road to be heavyweight champ, right?
I would love to fight you, sir, but won't be able to. But I will offer up my intern TC. We'll fight you, and we'll beat you.
Death Row Dan.
Hi, you're on The Ticket.
A little longer, Bob.
A little longer. Tiny bit longer.
Ticket.
Hey, I'm Ben, 225.
Rack 'em.
Rack me.
Okay.
My brackets are sweet. Hey, Dan.
Yes, good afternoon.
Want to go camping?
Yes.
I swear.
Hell yeah, let's
dying.
Go.
Are we going to... Is this kill screenless?
No.
Today?
2010, no. We brought screenless back. In 2011, we left it.
No, let's keep trying. Come on,
We left it in Lake.
All right. Good afternoon. You are on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Happy camping, boys. Happy camping.
Thank you.
So I'm driving down the road, and this car cuts me off 5 minutes ago, and it is a bumper sticker on the back says, "Don't like my driving, dial 1-800-EAT-DUNG." So it makes me mad.
I can't do this anymore. We have a nice week.
Oh, this is going great.
Snoop. We talk to the sports guy. We talk to Dion. We camp.
Good afternoon. You're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Come on, dude.
I can't end the week like this.
First off, I want to say winning my bracket. Thank you, Butler and San Diego State, for pulling through for where I need them to go. But I wanted to discuss the N-word.
All right.
Go.
Yeah, I just, you know, at my school, we read Huck Finn, and getting into that, and I'm expecting this extremely racist book, but I never really quite understood it. When you read the book, it's about him overcoming racism, so I don't understand what the big deal really is about that book, because it's him overcoming his preconceived notions about his slave friend.
Yep.
Good point. Have you ever read it?
Good point.
Yeah, the
right,
Huck Finn does not promote racism.
No.
It addresses it.
Let's end the week
addresses it.
With an important social point made by that well-thought-out call.
Nothing wrong with that point.
That's our new thing. We're going to take screenless calls until somebody has an important social message.
Well, we missed one.
I like the positivity.
We missed a message before we
uplifting.
Talked over it.
We keep taking calls till we...
The F you gribble down.
Oh, yeah.
We get an airworthy one.
Takes like 15 minutes. All right, well.
And Grooves is working, so he can't even fix this.
But would you trade it for anything?
I think Donnie's on his Facebook saying, don't worry about screenless. I'll be working next Friday. I'll fix it.
Maybe I'll take over. It's 12:02, and we have things to do. And this, oh, crap. Suck it. Colwell and Son and the Snoring Center bring you my nizzle. And my best friend, who I miss, because he's camping.
Thank you, soulmate. I wish you were here, but I also enjoyed your work on the board, so...
Oh, thanks.
If you were here, you wouldn't be on the board.
That's very true.
You know what I mean?
Maybe next year we can put a board out there.
Whoa!
Hey,
who's here?
Look who decides to broadcast now.
It's Corby Davidson.
Instead of last night.
The 9:30 bedtime snake. Hey, guys. Thanks, Tony. You know... I'm just kind of easing into tonight, because tomorrow... Oh, man,
get ready.
Man, classic vintage snake. Selling tickets now to listen to me tomorrow. Because Thursday night, you will not believe.
I still have my team of writers working on a
few plans. Does this go right alongside...
Pitching all seven?
I'll have to pitch all seven innings, and I don't need to wear high-top shoes during this basketball game.
That's exactly
game.
Where it goes.
No, it goes right won't believe how much I'm going to party Thursday nights.
No. I
call the Radio Hall of Fame and have them kind of clear out a little space right now for the
Marconi,
take.
Here I come.
I heard
anybody
Donovan.
Strapped on those shoes yet? I'm just wearing my running shoes out here.
I know that the whole whiskey industry depends on me and my Thursday night broadcast.
You're really overselling this. But, Donovan, I heard you try to explain it at some point today when I was driving back, and you kind of hit the nail on the head where I ceased to function properly as a human. Like, I couldn't even talk anymore.
That's the snake we need on the air!
No.
So now you find a...
Was
now
the,
you
was
find
deer,
judgment?
Yeah, did the deer rattle
was
you?
Was the deer carcass the tipping point?
No, I don't like the way the Lakers play.
Well, what I don't understand what that has to do with this. Try to stay on point.
I'm just kind of pissed at the Lakers. But, yeah, I pulled the old double reach around sneak out.
Boy, the total disappearing act.
And I could hear someone go, hey, go in there and get Corby.
We teased Corby next.
Like when I
like
was
a caller needed you, and then we said, well, we'll get him, and we'll do that next.
As I was crawling in bed, I could hear this, hey, we'll go get him. Yeah, we got him. And I'm like, ha, ha, they'll never find me here.
My tent. They'll never suspect that would be here.
Camouflage.
Yep.
I'm glad you're okay, because I thought maybe that deer carcass did have some kind of disease.
Yeah,
in it.
I thought it.
And you're
I thought
shivering
it
somewhere.
You a little bit.
And
it rattled
did.
You.
I walk out and I'm half deer.
On the floor of the shower, just kind of holding your knees with the water pouring on top of you,
like
you're
a
crying.
Like a heroin addict.
Yeah.
A little bit of blood runs down the drain.
Runs over to the train. Yeah.
Look, last night was not about me. Last night was about the man sitting next to me.
Mike,
and here
Mike,
he is.
Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, you want to talk about team spirit.
It's Mike.
Corby crashes and burns, but there's Mike to take up the rope.
Pieces, baby.
Oh, boy, did he ever.
Grabbed the baton and ran with it.
It was not about me.
The pieces.
It was like Mitch Moreland during last year's playoff run. I have never been so disappointed.
You in
my basically
life.
Grabbed me by my ponytail and dragged me all across the campgrounds,
man,
knowing that I was your bitch that night.
What a letdown.
It's not about me. It's about rising like a phoenix to great new heights.
It's about you.
It's never
I can only get so high. To take us to the next level, we were looking to you and what
happened.
But
it
was like Favre is gone, and we didn't know Aaron Rodgers was right there.
We had no clue.
But Favre was in his tent, all hungover, and here comes Aaron Rodgers into the game.
I thought it was like
it was not like
Who did Max McGee replace, Bob?
Oh, who was out that game?
Carroll Dale.
It might be,
Carroll Dale played.
Yeah, I think Dale played.
I think they both did.
Boyd was
must have been somebody else.
Lloyd Dobler.
I think it was Boyd Texas.
Andre Rison.
Well, nobody knew Max McGee had it in him until they sent him out there and he scored three times.
But he was hungover too.
So,
do you remember when Kanicki had to pick something up and someone opened the door and knocked him out cold, and Danny had to race?
He had to have a second for whatever the place was.
Grease reference.
At. No Country for Old Men.
Now he's back to Greece.
Mike lived
in the Greece era. He might have actually done that.
He saw it happen.
It would help a little bit if I had actually seen Greece, but I haven't. So
this is really,
you lived it.
You're wearing a pink lady's jacket as we speak.
You were
545.
He is still on fire. Look at him.
Yeah, he is.
He is shooting those threes. Come on, Jimmer.
What did he just say?
Jimmer stepped beyond half court.
He took creative license with hand jive.
Did we dump him?
Yes.
You had to.
Shoopy's keeping it going. Keep the party going, Shoopy.
Did you have another power hour on the way back to Dallas,
Might have.
All right, today is Friday, March 25th, 84th day of the year. There are 281 days left
you
in 2011.
You stopped at the boar's nest?
Just how dare you? He's got less than a year left. He's going to do whatever he wants.
It's scorched earth, Mike.
We didn't need delay anymore. We have a week like this.
RRGameRanch.com.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to them. That was great times. Thanks to the Musers. Thanks to, hold on. Woodford Reserve. Thanks to them and the engineers.
What about us?
And the heart. And thanks to Mike for participating last night in the deep night ticket.
I set your tent up.
And thanks to Corby.
Thanks to Corby.
Sure.
We tired him out, and that's why he fell asleep.
He was a little tuckered.
I love all that hair under your armpits.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking your shirt off, dude. Got to see what a real man looks
like. You're
kind
of hot.
Anytime.
All right. Hardline next.
I probably am a bigger proponent of camping than anybody out there.
Here he is, the Cobra. Here's Cobra.
I'm just glad to be here. As much as I probably am a bigger proponent of camping than anybody out there, I love everything about it except for sleeping in 40-degree weather. Everything about it. But, man, just by a series of events over the last 48 hours... My brain is rotted, and physically, I am so run down. I'm really tired. It's beyond that. I mean, I knew it after Friday, or whatever. What is today?
Today's Friday.
Yeah, today's Friday.
See?
You are tired.
I knew after Wednesday night that everything was screwed. Everything was going to go not as planned. And man,
what was planned?
Last night, just not to feel that way, not to feel so incredibly just scrambled. I can't believe that we finished the show yesterday and it was semi-smooth. Weren't you feeling, I was a wreck yesterday afternoon.
Well, I was dreading what was ahead of me. But
the power hour?
Yeah, but beyond that, I was all right. I don't remember feeling weird about anything other than that. Now, I was distracted by the
the awesome specter of the Power Hour hanging over my head.
You know, I'm really interested to try that now that you did it. I mean, it's only six beers, and but it just seemed like so much more.
Now, I've also been told since then that a true Power Hour is 100 shots of beer in an hour, and there is no way.
How many more beers is that? That's like four more.
10 beers in an hour.
Yeah.
God.
One every 6 minutes.
I was really concerned about your life. Like, I was concerned Mike was going to keel over.
Six beers?
In an hour.
Dude.
Like a frat bit gone terribly wrong.
Yes, that's what I was concerned about, too.
But he was more into it. You know what? Let's just save all this because there's so much to discuss concerning it.
Let me just say this. I was concerned that the way it was going to end up was going to be with somebody holding me by the ankles off one of those docks.
Just dropping you in?
No, and I'm upside down. I'm just barfing everything I have in me out, and I can't quit.
Oh, crap. I forgot that I recorded on my phone last night when we all went in after the Power Hour for our break, what turned out to be my complete
Your swan
ending.
Song.
I recorded you for like 20 minutes. Completely forgot. Maybe we'll save that for next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. All right. I'm sure there are a lot of things that we're going to hear that I don't have the vaguest memory of.
There's a lot of, I don't like you. Looking at me with an evil eye.
Mike becomes an angry drunk.
Yes.
No, normally I'm a very passive drunk. I was just doing shtick with him because that's what he does to me. Can't tell you how many times I've seen that.
I don't like you.
I'll be standing around and he'll look over at me and he'll have one eye open. He'll go, I don't like you.
And apparently I missed your grand retirement speech, which, God, I mean, I figured I might not be there.
Well, no, no.
You're very emotional.
No, no, no.
Four-pronged.
Yes, we were. We
exit strategy.
We were in the circle of truth. But no, that is not. I had a little beer in me. Okay.
Well, we get to hear it again.
I want to hear it again.
Well, I do. I've never heard it.
Well, when you do, just know and understand that I had a little beer in me. I probably went to a place I should not go, but it ain't happening now or any other time soon.
We'll see.
I just threw it out there. Mm-hmm. Just to, I don't know why. I shouldn't have done it.
That beer is some truth serum.
No, not so much. Not so much.
Who was the Channel 8 bitch?
For those who don't know, we went way out west.
Where the story's told.
About
way up west.
100 miles west of Fort Worth.
Yeah. To the Tri-Cities of Strawn, Gordon, and Mingus.
Right. And we were in Mingus at the Rockin' R Ranch.
Yes.
So,
for all you big game hunters out there in Possum Kingdom area.
Yeah, gorgeous area. And so I get back on Interstate 20 because 30 turns into 20 that far west. And I am hauling butt back to Dallas.
So you actually made it through town, and you were on the road.
On the highway.
Okay.
And I get a couple miles in, and I'm going quite fast. Yeah. Thank you, X3. I was going about 85, and the local speed limit was set at 65.
Mm-hmm.
There was a...
You were not in compliance.
No, I was law-breaking. So I see a cop, and I knew it. He was sitting under a tree. He was well hit on the right side, and right when I passed him, I was actually on the phone with my sister. So... And I was like, I'm getting a ticket.
It's one of those times when you just know.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm getting ready to get a ticket. She's like, you are? I go, yep. And I'm just looking in the rearview mirror, waiting. Boom, here he comes. So she's laughing, of course. I hang up the phone with her. And the guy, I actually exit. I was right next to an exit, and I don't ever like staying on the highway if I can.
Right.
You know, I'd rather exit and have the police deal with me there. So I exit and pull over to the side of the road, on the access road, and he comes up to my passenger side window. Okay, now this is a very stereotypical lawman for that part of the country. He's DPS guy wearing a big cowboy hat. Younger fella.
Riding a horse?
No, I wasn't pulled over on a horse.
Oh.
So, immediately he rolls down the window and I have my license and my, what is that called? Insurance?
Proof of insurance.
Yeah. I have that in my hand ready to go. I also, in the front seat, have a couple of pillows, a blanket, a bag with all my stuff in there, clothes for the weekend. God. And resting neatly on top of it all is the big bottle of Woodford Reserve.
Nice.
You know what's awesome about you?
Which I'm not even thinking about right then. I just want to get this over with, you know? So he looks in the passenger side window. I reach over there and give him my license and insurance. And he sees the bottle. Well, there have been a few tugs taken off the bottle. This was not a sealed bottle. And he grabs it. He goes, "What's this?" And I'm like, "Oh, crap. Well, it's a bottle of bourbon, but here's the deal." And then I just...
What was that voice?
It's diarrhea of the mouth, man. I mean, I am trying to explain to him...
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Trying to explain to the guy where I've been, why I've been there, what was going on, you know, and I was like, "Look, my name's on the bottle. See, it's a special bottle. It was for drinking last night. I'm not drinking now at 9 in the, or whatever, 10 in the morning." And he's kind of looking at it and looking at me and... And he's, and you know, I was like, "I'm out in a camp out for a radio station, and I'm just trying to get back, and that's why I'm speeding."
Yeah, how the hell do you explain all that to a small city cop?
I couldn't.
"Hi, I work for a radio station. We went on a camp out, and I got this free bottle of Woodford Reserve."
And then he's asking me questions like,
"With my name on it."
Yeah, with my name on it. And he's like, "Well, where were you?" I was like, "I was in," and then I froze, you know, and I'm like looking at the bottle. He's looking at the bottle. I'm like, "I'm not drinking." I'm like, "It's Mingus. I was in Mingus at the Rockin' R Ranch."
"Why do you smell like dead deer?"
"Have you been molesting a deer carcass? Because I can smell you." You know, we're going on and on, and he keeps looking at me, and then he goes, and then after I told him we were in Mingus at the Rockin' R Ranch, he goes, "Did you go to Mary's?" Mary's is that chicken fried steak place that we contemplated going to on, what night was it, last night? Were you not aware of this?
No.
There's a really famous, I don't think it's a diner, it's just some sort of local eatery down there.
I think the Musers ate there on their way back.
Did they really?
Yeah, they tweeted a few pictures of chicken fried steak.
Okay. This is very well known out there. And I guess it's well known by more than the locals. This is a destination place for a lot of people traveling in that direction.
I did not know that.
But, you know, he was like, "Well, did you go to Mary's?" I go, "Oh, no, but we talked about it. I want to go. Hey, do you want me to go now? Because I'll go." So we're talking about Mary's, and then I'm trying to explain to him the ranch. And by this time, he's kind of got his arm, you know, the bottle's just sitting down there now. And we're just kind of having a conversation. I'm like, "This is going well."
Passing the bottle back and forth.
I like where this is headed. Mm-hmm. And so he hands me my insurance back, kind of checks out the front of the car and asks me if I work for the car dealership as well. You know, I'm like, "No, that's through work." And yeah, and it's tough to explain that too.
Man, it is really hard to explain that.
It is. And you sound like a jackwagon trying to explain
it. Yes, you do.
"Look, I'm a big radio celebrity, and these dealerships throw cars at me."
There's no good way to put it.
I have so many free cars, okay?
There's no way to put it without coming off like an arrogant, pompous a-hole.
"It's free cars full of free booze. I don't know. It's crazy.
You want to talk to my free lawyer?"
"Look, my whole life... I'm getting ready to call 1-800-LAWYERS if you don't leave me alone, okay? Now, the first call is free."
Yeah, you go into a live spot without thinking about it.
No, so by this point, though, he's like, well, they let you drive awful nice cars, you know? And I'm like, well, yeah.
You city slicker, you.
I know, I know. But he was really nice to me. So, anyway, he starts rapping with me about the actual radio station. Okay? And he's holding on to my license. But then he grabs the bottle again with the name on it. And he looks at it. He was like, wait a minute.
Snake?
And he goes, what's that guy's name? You do a show with another guy, right? I was like, yes! Yes, I do! Yes! What's his name? Mike Reiner. Yes! Yes! I mean, we're making this connection. And he goes, what's the show called? I go, The Hardline? He's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh! That's me! On the bottle! With the free car! Yes! So
then he hands everything back to you, heads to his car, and says, be right back.
Hands everything back.
Oh, no.
Yes, exactly. Oh. And says, be right back. And then he comes back
with that.
You can go to the very bottom and see what that is.
Warnings, no penalty assessed for the following offenses. Speeding over limit. Issued by 11401 R. Hunter.
Hey!
Wow.
I'm back.
I knew I recognized him. How about my deputy, Big Anthony?
Yes.
Well, I got Matt the P1 Virgin on a ride along tonight.
Officer Hunter handed me this and he says, now you can never say that the good folks in Parker County didn't treat you right.
Oh,
I was like,
great success.
How sweet.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Parker County. And thanks to the good officer.
Right. And thanks for not going through my bag.
Which, of course, is where the one hitter was.
And like two front legs of a rotted deer.
Yeah, like two square groupers of pot.
Guess where we are!
By the way, go to their website, rrgameranch.com, and check out where we were. And if you have any hankering to go out there and spend some time, and they got a lot of stuff available out there, and it's well worth it.
That's right. And if you like to get out in the middle of nowhere where at night you don't hear any sounds that are not that are man-made, if you don't want to, you can do that. And if you like to look up at the sky and see real stars, as opposed to this fog-addled mess that we look up at, you can do that, too. It's cool.
You know, I should have been nominated for Camper of the Year. I know Dan showed you guys his wiener, and that kind of catapulted him to first place.
That was one of the most incredible moments ever.
But since I'm the one that facilitated the spot that we got to camp at, I should have been nominated. I should have made top three.
You lost your chance when you didn't show up last night for late night ticket.
You did, man.
I didn't say when. I said top three. All right, let's get to what happened last night, because you had to pay the piper for running into one of the cabins and sleeping like a king.
Yes.
In a heated bed with women surrounding you, feeding you hot beef.
Right.
The entire evening while we're out there just freezing.
Hot beef injection.
You're being lathered up in nice, warm, steamy gravy while we're out there just dying. So,
having my region shaved and stuff.
Right. Wow. Sleeping all the while. You don't even know.
Right.
What a ranch.
So we decided, thanks to an emailer, that Mike would have to somehow conduct something called the Power Hour, in which he drank 60 shots of beer in an hour, one per minute.
Now, this essentially is a drinking game, and we have since had many variations on the Power Hour presented to us. People saying, no, no, you didn't do it right. It's really this, or it's really that, or whatever. Well, this was the first one that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody at the place said anything different. Nobody knew any different. So this is what we went with.
And I'd heard of it done before. I'd never seen it before. Never seen anybody actually pull it off. I've seen tons of drinking games that involve much more alcohol in college and stuff. But, you know, for a guy who's been out of college now for about 40 years, this is...
Yeah, this is pretty hardcore.
Yes, man. This is, and you've never participated in any of those shenanigans, right? You've never been in, like, some sort of dumb college drinking thing?
No,
didn't
I haven't.
Shoopy say that he hadn't even shotgunned a beer or anything like that?
Yeah.
No,
ever?
I still have not shotgunned a beer.
Yeah, you've never, like, just slammed a beer?
No.
Like, you've never taken a full glass of beer and even drank it before,
no,
have you?
No.
That's amazing, right? So...
That's a hell of a leap.
It is. And to have the power hour for someone with no experience whatsoever when it comes to beer drinking, it's pretty heady stuff. So when you first started doing it, it started at 9 o'clock, right?
Right.
So we're all on the air at the time trying to describe what's going on. And you were into it. Like, you were way into it. You were ready to pay.
I was going to do it.
For your sins.
Yes, I was going to pay my penance.
And so we really didn't describe it very well because Mike didn't have a headset on. He didn't want to be on the air himself while he was doing this. So he's kind of loitering around this campfire we had. And we have all these chairs set up with microphones and a fire pit right in the middle. And Mike's kind of hovering.
I'm standing next to George. He's the timekeeper.
George had a stopwatch, but George was getting blasted and he'd forget every now and then. And someone would be like, it's time. And then Mike would, you know, dump a shot of beer in there and take it. And we would count it down. And
man, every minute he was supposed to do this.
After 30 shots in 30 minutes, there was a noted difference in your behavior and demeanor.
I'll bet.
There's a black cloud here.
I was not drunk at all that night.
And
no matter what you may think, devil.
And as things progressed into the 40s, and then into the 50s, you were the first sign of really, really just abject trouble was when you, and I've never seen you do this before, so I was very concerned. You took a shot, I think it was number 48, and you made a beeline for the water. You turned from the campfire and you walked away because you thought you were going to throw up.
Yes.
And I was like scrambling to get my phone, you know, not realizing... And look, I had my own issues last night. But I grabbed my phone trying to record Mike audibly. I didn't even care about the visual, not realizing that all of it was being recorded on the radio, you know? And the funny visual was Eric, our engineer. By the way, Eric and Tony.
Awesome.
You guys were so great.
Awesome.
So great. You guys were the MVPs.
Yes. Eric the Red.
We can't do this stuff without you.
And Tony. So great.
So Eric is chasing you with a big boom mic.
Yes.
Wherever you went.
Yes.
And Eric doesn't care.
Right.
You know, some people try to be a little bit more surreptitious about things like that, but he is really in your face.
He doesn't care.
He's trying to track Mike down.
He's being a pest.
And I can hear Mike going,
me, 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 me.
And then he turns back around. He's like, all right, I'm ready.
All right, let me tell you what happened there. There was one earlier. I think it was like 42 or 43, somewhere around there, that I'd so had it with beer that shot made it about halfway down and then started coming back up again. But I was able to force it down. And then on 48, I felt all kinds of things starting to rise up then. And I figured that probably what I needed to do was clear out.
Right.
But once again, we were able to ward this off and finish it somehow.
So,
I mean, I have a very weak resistance when it comes to that sort of thing. Usually when it's time for me to holler for Earl, I will do it and nothing will stop me.
Would it have been a violation to have rebooted?
No.
No?
I mean, look, he would have been just as drunk.
It would have been game over, dude.
It would have been, he would have been just as drunk.
It would have been church for me for the rest of the night. I would have gone the route that he went.
So the audio that we have is the last shot or last couple, three shots or something
right
like that?
Right before y'all are about to end the broadcast and all that. And
all right,
that's about where Shoopy finished up.
Now, here on these last few shots, I kind of got my second wind a little bit.
Yeah. You were doing them quickly.
Right.
You were not even waiting for the minute
to
pass.
You saw the finish line?
I did. I saw the finish line.
Yeah.
He's eye of the tiger. Look at this.
He's going to finish in the break, dude.
Yeah, dude. What are we going to break for now?
We can't
go to break.
Yeah, hold pause here. George, we have three shots left. That's it. Three. And George is like, coming up next, we'll see if Mike can finish this. Well, the breaks are like 5 minutes long. And all at once, we're like, what? But go to break. No, no, we're going to carry this out.
Meanwhile, I decided that, okay, three shots left. I'm going to get these down as quick as I can. And if something really bad happens, it happens. But at least I will have finished or come really close.
Yes, I have the tiger. Look at this.
He's going to finish in the break, dude.
Yeah, dude, what are we going to break for now? We can't go to break.
Jake,
bail out. He's not going to finish the break.
He's going to vomit. We've got to carry his vomit live.
No break.
Don't go.
Are we back, Jake?
We haven't broken yet.
Okay. Okay, good.
Hello.
Who's here?
Hey.
I'm here to save the day.
Shoopy's here.
What number shot are you on, Mike?
Shoopy. Shoopy, is this bad?
Okay, Mike.
Shoopy.
Let's see. All right, can you do supercalifragilisticexpialidocious right now?
No, I can't.
Let's see you. Let's hear you try.
No.
Come on.
How about shot number 58 instead?
Yeah.
This is extremely impressive.
Shoopy, I hope you're impressed right now.
So what if you're leaving the arena and you want expert opinion on the Mavs game?
We're about to give it to you. Just
put
hold
this
on.
Into perspective.
Here it goes.
Yeah!
Shot number 58.
Two more.
So impressive.
Two more.
Just do them now, Ryan.
Debt nearly paid.
Because it has been more than
59.
Look at him.
Swallowed it and went back into the glass.
All right. Literally. Literally, he takes the shot, gets ready to go back into down his throat, and he realizes that his throat is full of beer. And it comes back up, right back in the shot glass. I mean, right back in it. And he didn't even, no flinching, just knocked it right back. It was awesome. It was so powerful. Go ahead.
You just got one more.
It came back.
Hold on.
Mike wanders off before the last shot, and he wanders off about 15 feet to
like
the side.
Like an elephant about to die?
Yeah, yes. You walked off like an animal. You wanted to be alone to die.
I did.
So you start walking away, and here comes Eric with that stupid boom mic right behind you. I mean, he's your shadow. It's like Mutt and Jeff, you know, and he's
like
just
on the crew of cheaters.
It is, yeah, and he's just waiting for anything, any sort of audio gold, and you kind of knew he was there and kind of didn't, but when you turned and saw him, you're like, get out of here.
Just going to be okay. Just
Mike
be
is walking over behind the tree.
Fine. Bruce, he's fine.
Now, Gordon.
Let's stop talking.
What do Mike Reiner...
Get the hell out of here.
Oh my God.
Doesn't he sound
one
like
more,
a...
One more and we're done.
That's like a wounded animal.
Oh, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Leave me alone!
Like the transformation of the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Right, you're turning into a werewolf or something. Yeah.
Get the hell out of here!
Fine.
Now, Gordon,
let's stop talking.
What do Mike Reiner...
Get the hell out of here!
Come on, Ryan, it's one more and we're done.
You can do it.
Come on, Shoopy.
He's one shot away from inviting Greg back on the show.
Ryan.
So,
one more shot.
Grego, I'm sorry.
One more shot. One more shot.
Will he drunk down Grego tonight?
He did one more.
Yes.
There you go.
I think I felt that.
He started six beers in one hour, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'll get the microphone.
Yeah, don't let him in.
Respect.
I think I must have felt that runner's exhilaration.
Don't vomit out here. Vomit on me.
He's got to go pee, I think.
Talk to me, Shoopy.
Oh, no.
He's gone.
He ran inside.
He's breaking into the cabin once again.
he's going to go sleep in there.
Like the guy finishing the Ironman triathlon. He's all...
Yes.
See, I thought it would have been...
Muscle control.
I think I felt that runner's exhilaration.
I thought it would have been a brilliant bit. Nice. For him to finish, we're like, yeah, he paid his debt, yeah! And he just walks right back in the cabin and goes to sleep in the bed. Which I think we probably would have been fine with last night because it was a very impressive performance.
That is impressive.
Very impressive. But the night had just begun.
Oh, had it ever.
For Mr. Shoopy. We'll get into more of that next.
Now, if I just quit right there, everything would have been cool. But did I?
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Get the hell out of here!
Right here with three sports experts.
You finish that up.
Yeah.
We go inside to recover. Now, some of the audio that was captured indoors is quite funny, which maybe we'll break out next week.
Right.
When I was rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys go back out for more. My brain wasn't functioning at a level that where I couldn't talk. So I apologize, but I knew...
Was it drunkenness, or were you just that tired?
It was drunkenness, and it was everything else.
Okay.
I mean, I just got to the point where I could barely keep my eyes open. I was ready to go.
He hadn't slept very well the night before. Nobody had.
No.
Because it was too cold.
And I'd had about probably six beers and probably about four Woodfords by that point. I was drunk, all right? And but combined with the fact that I slept about 48 minutes the night before, just rocked my little world. So whatever, I sucked. I admit it. I failed America. But he did not.
And he faded away.
I knew what the night was about anyway at that point. It was all about you. And I was more than happy to let you win the evening. To win Camper of the Evening.
They don't want the night to be about me. They want it to be about you.
So, I don't know when...
They're more impressed with your history. They expect these things from you.
Speaking of history, one of your tricks is the presidential trick.
Right.
Where you can run down all the presidents in about 25 seconds. In order, by number. And I don't know the context of this because I still have not heard it, but somebody asked you to do the presidents when you were...
Well, I can provide you with this.
Go ahead.
Okay. This was shortly after the power hour had been completed. And so to test my condition and try to get a gauge on my precise state at that time, the Sterminator thought it would be a good idea to dial up the presidential trick. Now, I warded him off for a while, but I gave in, and here's what happened.
Pick it up at Lincoln.
All right, Lincoln.
Tigers.
Harrison. What?
And sorry, that's George doing a fake Craig way.
Yes, George.
And every president, he's coming up with the school mascot for, Dallas area schools.
Right, yes. And the greatest part about George's Craig way is the visual.
Yes.
Because he becomes a different human being as he's doing Craig way. He's always looking up in the sky. He's got his front lip over his bottom lip, and he's just real smarmy.
It's so sorry for a guy who's supposed to be such a good friend of his.
Pick it up at Lincoln.
All right, Lincoln.
Tigers.
Harrison.
Wrong.
What? All right, Lincoln.
Tigers.
Harrison.
May not be one. Keep going.
So if you don't chime in,
right, I mean,
just keep going.
Hayes. Arthur.
So Lincoln, Harrison, Hayes. Arthur.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does Bob have it up on his computer?
Yes, he does. He's got it on his phone.
Okay.
All right, then there's Cleveland, and then there's somebody I don't know right now, and then Cleveland again.
I don't know right now.
And then McKinley, Roosevelt,
okay,
Taft,
Mustache,
Wilson.
Thank you. Dude, you're all over the place.
Party.
Party's 29.
Lincoln,
I know,
Harrison.
You went from Lincoln to Harrison.
I did?
Yeah.
Joel Chisholm?
You missed Johnson, Grant,
all right,
Hayes.
All right, Lincoln, Johnson, Grant. Hayes, Arthur.
No, Hayes Garfield.
Pause it here. I've heard you do this 1,000 times.
This is part of your DNA.
Yeah, and you've never screwed up.
Well,
never.
I've never done a power hour before it either.
This is wonderful. Continue.
Then Arthur.
Arthur, Cleveland, then Harrison.
Right.
And then Cleveland again.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, that puts us to 25,
right.
Which would be McKinley.
Yes.
And then...
Lions. McKinley Lions.
McKinley. And then Roosevelt.
Sure.
Mustangs.
Taft.
Uh-huh.
There has to be a Taft, dude.
Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson.
Yes.
Wildcats.
Hadn't made the playoffs in 7
years. Hold on, Craig. He's trying to get through this.
Harding. Right?
Well, yeah, but Coolidge. I don't want to affirm every single one. I want you to get on a roll.
All right, Coolidge.
Played center Hoover, on the White Shadow.
FDR. And then Truman, Eisenhower,
Holmstrom.
Kennedy. Right?
Sure.
You said Eisenhower.
LBJ.
Uh-huh.
And then Nixon. And then Carter.
Ford. No.
Ford. And then Carter.
Hey, you were alive, dude. Come on.
Donovan. Go in there and drink 60 shots of beer. Let's see what you got.
How many?
60. You go in there. 60. Drink your
Mike,
beer.
We got to get serious.
All right, Ford, pick it up.
Ford, Carter. And then Reagan.
Did you whisper Lincoln?
No, he whispered Reagan.
What a jackass.
He's back in the loop. Back to Lincoln.
Harrison, Grant.
And then you know the rest.
No!
But do you?
No.
You know the rest.
Pretty good, Mike.
Thank you.
Was
Thank
it?
You. Not perfect.
No, it wasn't perfect.
Reagan, Bush, awesome. Clinton.
It's not like it normally Bush. Is. I will admit Mama. That. Not like normal.
He didn't know the last
four. The
most
four. Recent yeah. ones.
I won't bother you with the rest.
It's too
pretty,
easy.
Pretty feeble.
Wow.
Very feeble.
Yeah, what normally takes literally about half a minute took 3.5 minutes.
Right.
To get it all wrong.
Yes.
And then not know the last four.
Right.
You got it. You guys got the rest.
I'm surprised you actually don't sound that drunk, except for the word 60.
Yeah.
That sounded really bad.
Right.
But you really don't sound as drunk as you were.
Dude, if you could have been inside my head... It was spinning.
Okay, so what are we playing next? I forgot what else we have in there.
We've got you being attacked by a dead deer.
Yeah.
We have got, what else we got in there, Groobs?
Oh, from the night before, we have Corby getting pissed at Susan the Caller.
Oh, that's
kept good. Wanting Lady Antebellum.
One of his fans.
Okay. Were you referencing Corby's Angels last night by any chance?
I think
As a matter
Bob
of fact,
did.
We were.
Yeah.
God.
It came up.
Wakey, wakey! Channel 8 here!
But first...
More you.
There is more audio.
More Mike. Mike had 60 shots of beer and decided that it was time to announce his retirement from the world of broadcasting. Now, it's funny because the one guy up here, if you can live to be 100, you'll probably work to be 100. That's your goal, at least. You don't ever want to quit working. You're the one guy, like, I have a retirement date set, and you'll probably still be working after I retire, or when I want to retire, at least. Like, you don't ever want to quit.
No, I don't.
So, when I woke up this morning and got these emails like, congratulations, taking over the show, I'm like, what? Did he die?
Backstabbed another guy.
I was like, man, did he die?
Alcohol poisoning kick in?
I was like, did they let me sleep through his death?
We don't want to wake Corby.
Power hour, yeah,
don't,
did it.
Don't scare Corby. He's had enough this weekend. So, anyway, I like walk over to the campsite, you know, this morning, and I'm like, what is this Mike retirement thing? And George's like, oh, yeah, man, he got real emotional last night and retired. I'm like, what?
Awesome.
What? What did you do?
We had the circle of truth going.
Right? And what was it, your turn to do what?
We were just asking each other questions. We had to be truthful. That's all.
Okay, well, let's...
And I was less than truthful. I guess I didn't take this too seriously, but honestly, I can't tell you for sure what I was thinking.
Well,
let me just issue this caveat. Anything that is said here about that is not going to happen.
We'll see about that. Mm-hmm. I'm already making plans, so let's go.
All right, I got one more topic before I go to bed.
Quick roundtable. How much longer do you see yourself doing this job? Donovan Lewis, go.
Man, I'm so young in it, you know, especially this. So I see myself doing it for another 20, 25 years.
Dan?
Probably till I die on the way home driving from...
What time is this? How late did you guys stay on the air?
Just before 1 is when it ended.
Okay.
And that's right about this time.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just about at sign-off.
All right.
This camp out to home.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You set off the darkness music.
Boy.
So for the rest of my life.
See there?
I just jinxed that from happening by saying.
Yeah, you did. There. What about you there?
There's nothing that could happen.
You are in a more highly leveraged, high pressure, greater stress, greater demand place than any of us.
That morning show?
Yes.
Yeah. We're beyond our, what do they call it, shelf life?
What do you think, George? Our life expectancy?
10, 15 more years?
Well, hey, we're
I would like to, my goal would be at least another 10 years. That would be my goal. I mean, I don't think anyone could accurately, but I see myself at least 10 more years doing this.
All right.
What about you, Ryan?
That's very comforting. Me?
Yeah.
February.
No, come on. Are you like Norm?
No,
that's your last breath.
That's it. That's going to be it.
February.
Yes.
So we have.
I should have taken the exit ramp here.
Why? I like your honesty. Let's continue.
Sing that right here. At the camp out fire.
I'm not really announcing it.
You're predicting it.
Let's just say that I would imagine that those are the terms that it's being thought in by just about everybody.
Next what? February.
Yeah. Pause.
Intriguing.
What?
Let's just say that those are the terms. How did you finish that confusing statement?
I'll play it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just say that I would imagine that those are the terms that it's being thought in by just about everybody.
Okay.
Next February.
Yeah.
You will no longer.
Yeah.
You no longer work in this market, or no longer work at the ticket.
Probably no longer work at all.
Really? You've got balls retire. Saying that, Mike.
And you're serious.
We're
in a circle of truth here, and you think next February may be it for you?
It could very well be.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's not true, Mike.
It depends on whether or not I can get along without it, which, I don't know, when I really get down to it, when that day approaches, and I really get down to it, things may change.
That sounds serious.
God.
And you know, right
no
after,
wonder I got all those emails.
No kidding. Right after it happened, I was listening at home, and I texted Shoopy. I'm like, this sounds like something he's been thinking about.
And I was telling Ty, I don't think he's serious.
I don't know.
Because like I said something to Mike, as you know, right after the broadcast ended, I talked down the line. I'm like, Shoopy, you're kidding, right? He's like, well, I don't know. Time will tell, Shoopy.
See, believe me, wow. I was just riffing, that's all.
April, May, June,
boy, he
July,
sold it.
August, September, October, November, December, January. I have 10 months. I will put a yellow sign-up sheet on this door. We will take all comers. I guess that's my only option.
Wow.
Especially because that's what others' terms seem to be concerning you.
Right.
That won't be necessary.
Who is this think tank that is deciding your retirement?
I'm not sure.
Just say that I would imagine that those are the terms that it's being thought in by just about everybody.
All right.
Just about everybody.
Just about everybody.
Right. Just about everyone.
Oh, God.
See what
you know happens. You know what the moral of this story is? Don't do the power hour.
Yeah, don't drink.
Yes.
So we've had
go to the power hour and go on the air.
All right, what's worse? The power hour resulting in that your ticket confession of retirement in 10 months or what happened last year when
you
I don't
know,
even
you know what's awesome about
that.
You?
What's worse?
I don't think that had any ramifications.
No. No.
This did.
Oh, yeah, it did.
This caused Facebook freak out and everything. I've already had to address this on Facebook. It did. And I didn't intend that.
You rocked the world of Facebook.
Wow. Like, someone created a group called, like, Make Mike Stay or something like that. Or Don't Let Mike Leave.
I'm not. We've been through this once before. I am not. I'm telling you. It is not in my DNA to walk away from this. Anybody who listens to this show knows that. And I was not trying to create a firestorm at all. I wandered off somewhere where I shouldn't have.
I wonder if Craig is interested in afternoon drive.
He probably
hates those early mornings.
Yeah,
he's probably ready to get away from that.
He's an early candidate. He's very early in the process.
What about Buck Ballou?
Okay, yeah, Buck Ballou, always an option to fill any post at the ticket.
You said all comers.
That's true. I will not thumb my nose at anyone, TC.
Let's just say that I would imagine that those are the terms that it's being thought in by just about everybody.
That's the phrase.
Those are the terms that it's being thought in by just about thought in. Thought in by just a...
Oh, God.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh, God.
God. All right, real quick. This is innocent enough. Everybody has heard the fact that Gordon found a deer carcass on the side of the road at the Mingus, at the RR Ranch in Mingus, brought it to the campfire and threw it on me. I'm going to be honest with you. By this point, I'm pretty drunk. Within the main cabin of the RR Ranch, there is a room where there is taxidermy everywhere. There are animals everywhere. Tigers.
There's a whole offensive line on the wall of deer on the wall over the TV.
That was one of Mike's drunken points last night.
Offensive line of deer.
There's one big deer up on top, and then flanking him to the left and right are five like smaller deer heads. And Mike was like, "Do you think that's the deer leader up there?"
No, I asked if you thought that that deer on top sired those other ones.
Right. And you think he's the center of the deer collection? So anyway, there are animals everywhere, though, like little monkeys and all kinds of taxidermy spread out all over the place.
I mean, there's monkeys, there's turkeys, bobcats.
Everywhere.
Ding-dongs, ho-hos.
So, Gordon, when I'm drunk already, Gordon wanders over with this animal, and I can't see very well, and he throws it at me, and I'm like, God, this guy did a terrible job with this.
Flesh is coming off the bone.
Oh, yeah, bugs are everywhere, you know. I mean, there's, like, lice all over me, and then I, like, start looking at it, and I see the jaw wide open with these teeth and one eye, and another eye's missing, and it looks like the Terminator's face is melting, you know, and I'm like, I mean, I freak out.
Oh, dear.
I freak out.
No, I'll get to that.
What?
This is very difficult. I'll get to who it is. It's tearing my family apart because I can only sit on chairs.
Boys. Pause it.
She's explaining what's going on.
The deer had been thrown at me. Junior Miller is doing Coast to Coast with Junior. Okay, some stupid...
And he can't see you, right?
What's going on. No, he can't see me. We're down at the fire pit. He's at another area of the broadcast site outside. And so you hear me say, God, I finally realized what that thing was. That it was a dead deer on a stick. It was like a deer popsicle.
Like something you'd eat at the state fair.
Yeah. Just a little weather.
Something without fried.
So now I'm really going nuts.
It's tearing my family apart because I can only sit on chairs. Boys. When I lie on a couch, I can hear her screaming. It's the ghost of the couch lady.
The couch lady. What does the couch lady do?
Oh my God, what is this?
Her skin was grafted into a couch as her family fed her and she died. And Dr. Keith told us about this story years
ago. Dude!
Yes.
Get this cord off of it. God!
No, I'm just really having problems.
Pause
now.
It. All right. He threw it on me and my mic cord was wrapped around its head. So I'm running away and it's following me
it keeps
touching me. And I can't move. I'm like, get it off me now! And I don't even know if Junior ever realizes it, does he?
I don't think so.
No, he does.
I'm just really having problems now.
Sack of crap!
When I have blackouts, I've
And this caller just keeps on going, man. And he's just, when I have blackouts with the couch lady and... Okay, continue.
The couch spaghetti.
All right, so, Junior, a real rotting deer carcass was just thrown on Corby.
By Gordo?
One of those stuffed...
Caller, thank you for your story. I hope you're okay with the couch lady. Okay, now what happened?
Found in the woods or whatever. You got to see this thing.
Is it fresh?
No, it's dried out.
It's almost petrified.
But there's still a lot of...
Where is that idiot? Get in here!
There was something eating at it earlier. Turn on Rich's mic, please. Rich is over here to the right of Corby.
Get down here. And Gordon's being a little tea baby.
No, get down here.
He ran away.
There's
Rich says that Rich said he saw it this morning being picked at by two buzzards.
Wow, so it's fairly fresh.
Do I need to go take a shower or something now?
What do you mean?
Whoa!
Easy.
Need to get that. Dump that.
Yes.
Is that when I called him a D?
Yeah.
Yeah, he deserved it, right? Wouldn't you call him a D?
Totally.
Okay. And he wouldn't come down.
He was your
nemesis
been a all this trip.
No doubt.
Get rid of that.
What are you talking about?
It is compound.
What are you doing?
What are you talking about? Were you not holding it up? Were you not displaying it proudly?
It's all over me.
It's not all over you.
The
it's
hell?
Not real.
Yeah, he picked it up while we were out there.
It's a prop.
When we went out riding around after dinner about an hour ago.
Don't listen to him. He's rich.
Was Gordon drinking?
I didn't see him.
He got drunker later the night went on. He just started sounding weird, like maybe he was taking pills or something. He was sounding crazy, though. Maybe it was lack of sleep.
He was saying crazy stuff, too.
Really? He was out of his gourd.
Yes. He was more out of it and out there and crazy on this trip than I've seen him in a long time.
Okay, you know, your joke is whenever you issue something shocking, and I'm like, dude, I can't believe you said that. Normally, yeah. I'm joking, but you're like, you're shocked by that? At a station that harbors Gordon Keith, you know?
Yeah.
And I always kind of pass that off as whatever. Some of the stuff he said on the air was as bad as I've ever heard him.
Yes.
Shocking.
And the stuff off the air that didn't make the air, same thing.
Man. Something got into him. Okay.
Yeah, he picked it up while we were out there.
It's a prop.
When we went out riding around after dinner about an hour ago.
Don't listen to him. He's rich.
There were two buzzards that were on it, that thing, when we drove up.
Rich can barely talk.
I've had a few drinks.
However, I wasn't aware he was going to throw it in your lap. He had another prank in mind.
By the way, pause it there. So, that started off a feud between George and Gordon that got really uncomfortable.
Like, George had enough of
Gordon? Like, serious?
Yes! Were you guys listening at that point, when they were going back and forth?
I guess not. I think I was just about to get on the board, but I hadn't yet.
I got really uncomfortable. Were you aware of this? This is during the power hour. So you probably had your mind focused somewhere else.
Yeah, I probably did.
But he was so mad.
I probably did, but you know, that's standard stuff between them, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe I was just freaking out because I was
covered in dead deer.
Right.
I thought it to be pretty much standard George Gordon out of town, all of us together fair, where Gordon's just trying to push his buttons.
Maybe so. It was very uncomfortable. Okay, one more thing, and we'll wrap up camp out. And we'll get into this next in Community Quick Hits, because it involves one of our community newswomen that decided to ruin my entire day at 5 a.m.
The obvious winner is Corby. Since Mike announced his retirement in February, he has completely taken over the hard line. Duh.
So this morning, the last morning of the Woodford Reserve Musers Campout, I was sleeping pretty good. Now, my tent was within an earshot of the broadcast. Only Rich Phillips, though. He was the only one that was able to pierce that wall of sound. That I thought was above. I thought I had enough room, but I could hear Rich Phillips.
The ticket flugelhorn.
But I was sleeping good enough to where I thought that I would sleep through Rich. Even though I went to bed reasonably early, it turned out to be late because I just laid there looking at the stars, basically, Frito. So, anyway, I finally fall asleep, probably around 1 or something, after you guys get off the air. And I know I was sleeping good because I know I didn't wake up, unlike the night before where it was every 15 minutes.
You didn't go to sleep till after we got off the air?
No.
Well, why didn't you come join us?
I couldn't speak.
You just needed to take a little bit of a breather. So you go over there. Why not go over there for about 30 minutes or so and lay down, get your head right, and come over.
I should have.
You just need some attention from me.
Well, anyway, I know I was sleeping good because I know I didn't wake up. So about 5 o'clock, I knew it was 5 o'clock because I heard somebody, and I look at my phone, and it said 5. I hear somebody walking, and they're really loud, and it was a girl. I'm like, what is going on, man? Now, the owner of the ranch is a buddy of mine, and I thought maybe for whatever reason his wife had something to tell me, but I'm like, why 5 in the morning? What's the point here?
How things in the marriage aren't going so well?
Yeah. Can you talk? So then I hear this voice. I'm like, I don't recognize this voice at all. It's coming closer and closer and closer. And then I finally hear, wakey, wakey, Channel 8's here. Get up, boys. Let's go. Come on.
Wakey, wakey.
And I'm going, what the F? Well, I don't make a peep. She is within a foot of my tent. And I don't say anything. I don't move. Because I don't want to be on TV at 5 in the morning with Channel 8. I did not care one whit about that. So I'm perfectly still, knowing that she'll go away. Oh, no. No. Then I hear, God, I can't hear anybody snoring in this tent. I guess nobody's in here. Let's do the live shot here. So by this point, what do I do? Do I get up and say, get away?
I'm surprised you didn't yell something.
Or do I fight through this and just sit through a live shot that's right next to me? Now, it's not just a live shot that's like, okay, we have 20 seconds and go. And the live shot's over. No, this is setting up the camera, setting up the IFB, putting the microphone on, getting lighting done, getting the camera ready. So after like 2 minutes of this, I'm at a critical mass point where I either say something now or I just let it all slide. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to talk to this wench. I don't want anything to do with her. I'm just going to let her do her thing and hopefully I'll go to sleep here in a little bit. So,
how'd that work out for you?
20 minutes later, after I hear about all of her problems, all the cameraman's issues, where he went to college, how nice he was for giving her his coat, how cold she was, how dumb we were for camping out there, how far she had to drive, how much she got lost, how she had to call Gordo at 4 in the morning to get directions, how she was hungry, how she needed her coffee, every damn thing about her life, right in my ear. And all the while, I am not moving a muscle. Nothing.
But you can't go back to sleep either.
No, and they got TV lights on your tent.
Oh, yeah. I'm hearing everything until finally I hear 3 minutes, whatever your name is, Sean. I don't even know. I think that's her name.
Sean Gables.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. 3 minutes, and then I'm just counting down. So all this went on, and this is what I hear 3 minutes later, and then it was 2 minutes. Now 1 minute. 30 seconds, Sean. Sean, get ready. 10 seconds, Sean. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, guys! As you can see, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, over 100 miles away from any city, out in the woods. I'm here with 3 sports experts. I dare you to guess who I'm with and where we are. If you can figure out where me and the 3 sports experts are, hit me up on Facebook or Twitter. Okay, guys, talk to you in a second. Pause and cameraman. Great job, Sean. That you really nailed that one. That was great. Home run. Do you want to stay here? No, let's go over to the broadcast site now. Wakey, wakey, everybody. Channel 8's here. Oh. Now, I blame this all on Gordon and his relationship with Channel 8. And
did he set this up?
Of course he did. He had to get on TV. Had to get the camera crew out there. And mind you, they drove in from Dallas. They left at 2 a.m.
God.
At 2 a.m. to get out there for what turned out to be little 30-second wastes of time throughout the course of their first 30 minutes of broadcasting.
Boy, this must have been the slowest of news days for them to even think about coming out there all that distance to cover a radio station with a bunch of jerkwads camping out.
Yeah, and you know what? She doesn't
get
even...
the
they're
hell
all
out
sleeping
of here.
Except for a handful of guys.
Now, I am praying to Jeebus that you hear this, because your tent is about 50 yards away from me, but surely...
I heard nothing. I heard none of this.
That speaks to your drunkenness, because on a normal night, dude, you would have woken up, and I'm sitting there with my phone, and I'm getting ready to text Mike saying, get out here and stop this. But then I'm like, no, I don't want them to hear my phone, you know, like, click, 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 click. I don't want them to know I'm in here now. I'm past that point.
I hear you.
I know you're wakey, wakey.
Oh, God.
Yes, yes. So she didn't even know where she was, and the gall of this woman to go parading around these tents with grown men who are trying to sleep at 5 in the morning. She thinks she's involved in some bit. She has no clue. I'm here with 3 sports experts. What does that even mean?
Who are they?
Mike, I mean, Craig, George, and Gordon.
I wish he'd have gone and looked in Dan's tent and he'd have opened his sleeping bag. He was buck naked.
Pink torpedo.
Uh-oh. Somebody's happy to see me.
Let's hope not.
Well, put yourself in her position. Some boss of hers, tell her to drive out to the middle of nowhere and make a story out of this.
Why? Do you know what is newsworthy about
this? Do you know how much gas Channel 8 wasted to get out there? Because I do. It was half a tank of gas for me there and back, which, you know, to fill up a car now, it's $75.
You're driving at 85 miles an hour.
You're damn right I am. So it did not pay off for them. At 5 a.m., too? Who the F is watching you at 5 a.m.? You know? I can tell you who. Nobody! Nobody! And to interrupt my sleep, and guess what? Guess who couldn't go back to sleep? Me! And I was perfectly sleeping soundly until Channel 8 showed up.
You should have gotten up and told her off.
The only thing that I thought at the end was to interrupt her tease.
Yes,
and like
her.
And like jump through the tent like...
Now that would have been good.
Yeah, I know, but I just...
Somebody's not happy to see me.
Oh, yeah. Who's got the grumpy face? Oh, God, morning television.
You are terrible.
Hasn't had his first cup of coffee yet.
Not yet. Let's change all that. Here's some Joe.
Should we tell everybody about Dan?
Being nude?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, quickly.
So
huge, quickly.
Gordon and George and I are going around waking everybody up, wakey wakey. We go over to Dan's.
This is 8:45.
Yes,
by the way.
This is 8:45, and Dan has not gained consciousness at all yet.
Had you already been to my tent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he is quite groggy. So Gordon starts peppering him with questions. He's laying in a sleeping bag, and finally he said, "We've got audio from this, right?" Yeah. All right, let's listen.
Right outside the tent of Dan McDowell. He looks so comfy in there. He does. I wonder when he went to sleep.
Set it on fire.
It was after one, I know that much.
Here, I'll get the deer leg.
Okay.
Now, does he still sleep nude at these things?
Rain tape, as Gordo calls it. Or Junior calls it.
Creepy, Mike?
Totally.
The deer leg. Morning, Dan.
Oh, God, it smells.
Morning, George. Why are you doing that?
I'm not doing it. He is doing it.
Why are you supporting that?
I'm not supporting it. I'm against it.
It's a wake-up smell.
Listen.
Hi there, Mr. Dan.
Here, I'll throw it in your
hand. Hey, Mike.
Don't
last night, after the deer carcass was thrown on Corby.
Do not put that in his tent. Don't. Gross. He just put it right by his... I'm sorry, Dan. I don't approve of that message.
This is the
dear leg loves you. Hello, Dan. It is me. Beloved dear leg.
All right. You know what's great?
What's great?
Camping and sleeping naked.
You're not naked?
Are you really?
Woo!
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Right about then, he unzips his sleeping bag, and there are the twig and berries for everybody.
So, whenever, was that him going, woo, like that? Could you hear that right before, woo, like a burlesque dancer,
right.
You know?
Yep.
That's so awesome.
Camping and sleeping naked.
Are you naked?
Are you really?
Woo!
Oh, my God! Oh, no!
He's naked.
Oh, doesn't let George laugh.
He won camper of the year for that.
Yes,
too.
Yes, he did. Mm. I got to tell you, that is one of the five most major things that I've seen in my time at the ticket.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, out of all the time we've been together, I don't think I've ever seen the penis of anybody else. Of any of our colleagues. Have you?
I mean, I don't know. No, I guess not.
Definitely not willingly.
No.
And that was definitely
right. Oh, it,
Playgirl-esque.
Yes, it was.
Playing songs while you do things with your dong. This is Michael Gruber.
Grooves is Hall of Famer.
No! Oh, no!
He's naked!